These Dear DeBryant reports.
How about working out to this? It's not what you usually hear at the gym, but researchers in Italy have found waltzing just as effective as cycling and treadmill work for those with heart problems. Dr. Douglas Zipes is a cardiologist in Indiana and says patients are more likely to exercise because it has a social benefit.
An exercise program that involves a partner, such as waltzing, is an excellent idea and probably has that same beneficial emotional effect.
Besides that, no squeezing into spandex. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
My name is Borat. I generally...
He may be a bumbling reporter on screen, but Sacha Baron Cohen was a smart movie maker. Borat was the top movie for the second week now in a row. Borat made an estimated $29 million. This is ABC News.
When you're in the hospital for surgery, you're asked a lot of questions by a lot of different people, all of whom have your well-being in mind. The success of your anesthesia experience depends on how completely you answer the confidential questions asked by your certified registered nurse anesthetist. Be honest about your medical history, whether you smoke, drink, take drugs, or have been dieting. Your safety depends on it. A public service message from the American Association of Nurse Anesthetists.
I'm Brad Wheatless, ABC News.
KGO Radio News Time 10:05. Good evening, everyone. I'm Kelly Denson. Here's what's happening in the Bay Area and around the state. Service on the KL and M Muni lines was disrupted today between Van Ness and West Portal stations, forcing riders onto shuttle buses. The good news is service through the Twin Peaks Tunnel has been restored. Riders faced a similar problem on Saturday following damage to overhead power lines. A 23-year-old Pittsburgh man was one of two men killed by a drive-by shooting on Saturday night outside of a house party in the 800 block of East 14th Street in Pittsburgh. Police say 23-year-old Ramiro Magana was pronounced dead at Sutter Medical Center. The other victim's identity was not released. Police say no suspects have been taken into custody. And the Los Angeles Police Department and the FBI continue their investigation into an alleged beating of a suspect last August in Hollywood that was captured on videotape. The Los Angeles Times reports that copies of the arrest report they obtained says the officer struck the suspect twice, while the video shows him hitting the suspect at least six times in the face. Let's head outside now and take a look at the roadways. An earlier traffic alert canceled in San Leandro. This is southbound 880 at Lewelling Boulevard. A vehicle may have crossed over from the northbound lane, causing a multiple car fatal accident. The roadway is now clear, but emergency crews are still on the scene. In San Francisco, westbound 80 before 7th Street, we have a four-car crash that's been moved to the shoulder. Introducing Cold FX Capsules, a new natural product in the cough and cold section. This season, when you can't afford the downtime, Cold FX-it. Find out more at coldfx.com. Taking a look at KGO weather now for the San Francisco Bay Area for your evening. It is expected to be mostly cloudy with a chance of rain throughout the Bay Area. Low temperatures are expected to be in the 40s. Rain is also likely throughout the Bay Area on Monday. Right now in Oakland, 57. San Jose checking in at 57 as well. And in San Francisco, 56 degrees and cloudy. I'm Kelly Denson, KGO Radio News.
Well, good evening, Radio Land. You're listening to The Open Line to the West Coast for the next 3 hours on this 12th day of November, the year 2006. And as usual, you're the stars of this program. Over the next 3 hours, we'll have 40 to 50 of you on this program if things go as usual. And it'll be very interesting because it comes from you. So here's your number. Millions of you know what it's all about. 8080810. And if you're outside the immediate Bay Area, dial one of the Bay Area area codes, 415-510-707-408 or 650, and then the number into the KGO studio switchboard, 8080810. Be quick about it. Hey, generally fills up in a hurry. You got to wait an hour or more before you can talk to millions out there over the most listened to program and radio station, KGO, San Francisco, 810-810 on the AM dial everywhere, over this ABC flagship station to the entire West Coast. And keep in mind, When you dial into our switchboard and we put you up on the air, your voice is beaming from Alaska to Central America out to the Rocky Mountains and all points in between. Say, just a comment on the big events to come. You want to stay tuned to see now what the Democratic leaders, along with the White House, will come up with in terms of new plans and real solutions that they claim they have for how to win easily in Iraq or to back out, you name it. But they say they don't want to lose. And, you know, in the eyes of the terrorists, anytime we stop fighting them, anytime we back up, they start celebrating. And they rattle another 10 times as many ready to go kill other people. That's exactly what they did after the recent election, by the way. I think they're dead wrong. I don't think the Democratic leaders are going to abandon our troops overseas who are listening to this program, by the way, any more than the Bush administration did. And as I said before, the one guy that I have a lot of faith in on the Democratic side is Senator Harry Reid from Nevada. I know him as a very honorable man. He may have different ideas. We may differ on politics and a number of things. But one thing I know we don't differ on, and that is commitment to our servicemen overseas. Today, when he was asked, are we going to set a timetable, as many of the other Democratic senators want done, for immediate withdrawal? His answer was, absolutely not. He has ideas, and he's voiced them. Many others have, on phased withdrawals or various things you can do. But you do not go over and tell the terrorists, we're going to cut and run, or we're going to leave on the 5th of December, so they can wait until we're gone and then take over the place. And the next thing they'll be doing is sending their troops back to hit us in this country again. I'm not as worried as many that the leaders of the Democratic Party in control in Congress today are going to back away from the threat this nation and the world faces. And it's going to be a long, long time. It's not an ordinary war. We're not fighting a country. We're fighting a cult and an ideology that is vicious and barbarian. And it's all over the world. How many of you stop and think about what it was like before 9/11 in this country? How many of you ever really worried about your safety if you flew to another country? How many of you worried about your safety right here at home when your children go to school? Or you ride a train across a bridge, fly an airplane? And now we're an armed nation, everywhere. And we hear some scream that we've lost our freedoms, and they don't even realize we lost the biggest freedom of all in the hands of these barbarians and the terrorists. They took away your freedom to feel safe, to feel that your family was safe, your freedom to travel. Take that away and see what you have left, if you have to worry every day. You want to continue that for generations and generations? I don't think the top Democrats do any more than the top Republicans. Okay, let's go to work here tonight. Doug in San Francisco, you're on KGO.
Hi, Dr. Bill.
What's on your mind?
Well, I want to talk about the JROTC issue and the school board.
Well, wait a minute. Let's make it a little more. Let's tell a few folks now. You're talking about last night's John Rothman show topic about the ROTC in the high schools in San Francisco. Huh?
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, well, what is happening there? Tell them about it so we know what we're talking about.
I was interested in the parallels also between what's the arrogance of our school board and the topic you've often mentioned in Walnut Creek, the arrogance of the city council people there. Because that's what it is. We have a school board who thinks they know what's better for our kids than superintendents and principals and parents and PTSAs, alumni associations, all believe in this program that's been around 100 years. And the school board, most of the members have never been even to visit one of these programs. And
look, I think your basic problem is this. And first of all, I have to tell you, I'm not so sure there's any parallels with the Walnut Creek issue. But on the other hand, I am concerned, and that's why I called in John Rothman's program last night, to say that I understand the value of these programs. They're voluntary, but I think they're very important to many students and important to this country. And I think the basic problem you're fighting in San Francisco is a very anti-military, anti-defense anything for this nation, even though San Francisco enjoys all the freedoms and benefits that have been won only by our military. So.
Well, I agree that is the problem. But it seems to me that our board ought to be able to separate their disagreement with the military and their beef with the military from a program that's designed to help young people be better citizens.
And all right, well, very quickly, what can folks do about it? Who should they write or contact in San Francisco?
We need to contact the school board. If they visit the San Francisco Unified School District website, all of the email addresses and phone numbers for the school board members are there. And
all right, what is the San Francisco School District website?
Well, if they just...
No, what is it? What is it? SF School District what?
SFUSD dot edu, I believe.
FS what?
SFUSD dot edu.
USD, Unified School District dot edu. Okay.
Right.
All right, well, look, you got the word out, and I hope folks will follow up and tell them what they think about it. And thanks for calling KGO. Tony in Vallejo, you're on KGO.
Hi, Dr. Bill. How are you doing?
What's on your mind, Tony?
Well, I have this, a friend of mine has this table saw, and the key broke off in the switch.
Uh-huh.
And so he took the switch apart, and instead of there being three wires, there's four wires. Are there two grounds in it?
Well, I don't know what he's got. Is this a 240-volt table saw, big table saw?
Right, it's a great big one that he got from Maryland. From Maryland closed.
Well, I'm not familiar with it, but you should really check. Now, the fact that you're asking these questions, you really want to make sure you don't try to fool around with it with the wires in that switch box. But it's not uncommon to find four wires if it's a 240 system, because once in a while it'll be split into two 120-volt circuits for other reasons, as well as, of course, the full 240. Now, one of those four wires should be a bare copper wire, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yes, one of them is a bare copper wire.
Bare copper wire. That's a safety. It's a safety ground. It's called. The other two of those are the hot sides of the 240 circuit, and the third one should be a white wire that's called the neutral. Okay. Now.
Okay.
Now. The only thing he should be doing is wiring up a new switch in exactly the same way the present one is. But I have to tell you, if you don't understand why those are there and how they're connected, you had better get an electrician or someone to repair that who knows that appliance, because you can very easily be electrocuted if you make a mistake. Okay.
If you
wire it up wrong, the table itself can be hot. When you touch it, it'll kill you.
Oh, okay.
So don't fool it.
Tell me that.
No, don't.
I have one more question for you concerning wiring, but this is a simpler one.
All right.
I will get somebody else to look at that one. I have a little fan that is battery operated as well as electrically operated.
Yes.
And I'm trying to rewire it to the plug, but on the inside of the fan, it's got two black wires and one red wire.
Hmm.
Instead of the black and... Yeah.
Well, inside of appliances, quite often, they won't have a consistent color code of the kind you'd find in Romex. In other words, the normal house wiring. Your normal house wiring, at a 120 circuit, you'll have a black, a white, and a bare copper. Okay. Now, inside, it's hard to say what they've done. They may have just used black wire everywhere. And again, you can take someone who has a meter and can understand the design of the little fan and tell you the difference. But most often, when there are two black wires in there, it doesn't make any difference what the polarity is. You're coming in with the black and the white from the power line, right?
Uh-huh.
And the white goes to one of those black wires, and the black goes to one of those black wires, huh?
Right.
Well, probably makes no difference, but again, you'd better have somebody check it with a meter, or you can lose your fan if it's hooked up improperly.
Okay.
Hey, well, good luck. I wish I could have helped you, Tony, but... You have to see these things and have a meter to really be sure what you're doing.
Okay, good. Okay, well, thank you, Dr. Bill.
Hey, thanks for calling. KGO time now, 10:18. Tens of thousands of folks with older homes are making one of the very best investments they can make to their best investment, their older home. They're changing out the old, noisy, drafty single-pane windows and doors for the top-of-the-line dual-pane windows and doors. It makes a tremendous improvement in looks of most older homes. Big jump in appraised value, big reduction in energy bills. And banks and lending companies are very favorable. They'll tell you they know the value added to homes, older homes in particular. Well, you don't have to take quotes from high-pressure salesmen for the top-of-the-line dual-pane windows and doors. There's a world-famous website and company called newpane.com, spelled N-E-W-P-A-N-E, like windowpane.com, and thousands have gone to them and used them. They supply all the top-of-the-line windows by the thousands to developers and contractors on a volume basis, volume discounts, and they do residential installations all up and down the state. You can log on to newpane.com and right on the tube, put in the dimensions of the windows in your home, measure them approximate as fine, or take the specs off of someone else's quotation. And for every combination of manufacturer and style of window, you'll get a fully priced quotation for an installation, not a nickel more, and you'll never hear from them. You can sit there on the tube and look at 100 combinations. But I'll bet you when you do, you'll be calling them when you compare the prices. And newpane.com will send an expert to do precise measurements and schedule an installation generally within 28 days. And they'll give you customer references from Sonoma to San Diego. If you can't log on to newpane.com, you can call them at a toll-free number of an office in the Woodland-Dixon area, 800-614-7263. That's 800-614-7263 for newpane.com. And we're back to the open line to the West Coast. There's the theme song, Stir It Up by Bob Marley. And that's what we do on this program. We try to stir things up a little bit so you'll never remember them. I mean, you never forget them. What do you mean, never remember them? You will remember them and never forget them. And hey, I'm sure you have a problem, a puzzle, something you've always been curious about. You pose the question on this program. We'll get you an answer. They're experts on any subject you can think about. Listening out there among the millions, and they'll be on the air in a jiffy, and we'll both learn something. Or if you have a comment on the politics or the woes of the world, come along, I'll give you a run for your money. And we're through, most folks will remember it because they heard a little of both sides. Willie, in Clear Lake, you're on KGO San Francisco.
Dr. Bill.
Yes.
You know, I've been watching CNN and Fox, and I've just been watching all these young men get killed and maimed their arms and everything. And I was just wondering, do you think that Iraq was a big enough threat to cause all this? Do you think it was that they were a threat because of the weapons of mass destruction, or was it oil, or was it because Bush's dad didn't finish the job? But I just...
your loaded question, you got it all figured out. Why are you asking me?
I'm asking you what you think.
Well, you just told me what I'm supposed to think, didn't you?
I didn't tell you what you're supposed to think. I'm asking, what do you think about it?
Bush's dad, we wanted to steal the oil, and everybody lied about the weapons.
How do you think that?
Well, let's tell you. Let's go down the list here.
Yeah.
Who else do you think was convinced there were weapons of mass destruction there, huh?
Oh, yeah.
How about every top Democratic leader, now the leaders of Congress, huh? How about the head of the CIA appointed by Bill Clinton, the Democrats, before Bush came in? How about the $1 billion a year we were spending since 1991 to keep the guy from killing his own people, and he still killed an estimated 100,000 or more every year? How about the mass graves we uncovered with women and children, with well over 10 to 20,000 women and children shot in the back of the head?
He wasn't killing any Americans, though, right?
Oh, no, but you see, it's fine. You just say, but you know, the Germans, the Nazis, and the Japanese weren't killing Americans in the Second World War, either.
What about all the people?
Was that wrong? Hey, was that wrong as you sat here comfortably and so happy and secure in this country?
I'm not happy about anything. I didn't say I was happy.
Now, who are we fighting there now? Who has declared there that this is the battlefront against America and all of the infidels who are not that don't please Saddam Hussein? I mean, Osama bin Laden. Who has declared that this is the battlefront?
Do you think if it would have been the same if we had went on and took it and found bin Laden?
Reason we haven't found bin Laden is you're not over there to do it, since you obviously know how, don't you?
Oh, boy, isn't that nice?
Well, where is your comfy butt sitting this day, as you tell our 16,000 servicemen in Afghanistan risking their lives, and you got old comfy butt sitting here blabbing off at the mouth, okay? Well, I've given you the answer for your loaded question. Take a hike. Goodbye. Okay. And Bruce in Grants Pass, you're on KGO.
Hi, Dr. Bill.
What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I have a question about Iran and their Kilo-class submarines. Apparently they have three of them. Are those capable of being retrofitted for carrying nuclear weapons?
Yes, but they're not retrofitted for nuclear missiles. That's the big danger.
Oh.
And I can tell you in very short order, The class of submarines and ships and airplanes and standard military armament that Iran has, as the same with many of the Middle Eastern countries, is simply considered good target practice for the American military if there's ever a confrontation, okay?
Okay.
The American Navy would love nothing more than for them to do something hostile with those submarines. It'd make a good afternoon of target practice, okay?
I have another question to you.
All right.
On the Drudge Report, we heard something about the Kitty Hawk being dogged by a Chinese nuclear sub. And apparently that's going to be posted. My wife said some news agency is going to have that on tomorrow. But apparently this has been about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Kitty Hawk, I guess, was dogged by a nuclear sub without knowing about it for quite some time.
Well, we didn't know about it. How come they know now?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, look, the other thing, too. People get alarmed about this, but every military around the world is practicing surveillance and tracking of the military of other countries. That's the name of their game. That's how they practice, you see.
Exactly.
There's nothing illegal about a nuclear sub or any kind of submarine tracking a ship somewhere if it stays in a non-hostile position and is not a threat. And frankly, we do it all the time.
That's true.
I mean, hey, our submarine captains, their main agenda day in and day out is to keep track of other ships at sea and other potential targets.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there's nothing alarming about finding one that is trying to track or stay on the trail of one of our aircraft carriers.
Okay.
I can tell you this much. If they think they're tracking our aircraft carrier, I'll tell you, I'll make you a big bet that our fellows know exactly where they are.
Oh, they do now.
they do now. I'll bet you they do. They knew all along when you say they knew now.
I guess the report was that they did not know that they were there for quite some time. So.
Well, that's the report, but you know, nobody can ever verify this stuff.
True.
Look, I can tell you I know a little bit about the technology we have for tracking submarines.
Yeah, great.
And in particular, I want to tell you something, Bruce, that your internet amateur bloggers probably don't know, and so-called news services, is that any time a submarine gets close to something like the Kitty Hawk, we know a hell of a lot more about him than he knows about us.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty much positive on that.
Just leave it there, okay?
We've got a good Navy.
All right, take care.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for calling. Gene in Roseburg, Oregon, up to the great state of Oregon again, from Grants Pass to Roseburg. What's on your mind, Gene?
I was like some of the retired generals that were trained during the Cold War, then fought in Vietnam, and have expressed some problems with going into Iraq. And I just wanted to express my opinion because I agree with them. And that is that, well, Iraq was a definite problem. We had Afghanistan going on at the same time, and we didn't know the strength of the forces in Afghanistan that we would need.
Just a second. You can say anything you want, but as you go along, if you say something that I just don't think there's any basis for, I'm going to ask you, told you that we did not understand the forces in Afghanistan?
In any war.
Well, you said this. Now,
okay,
you meant
it's an unknown.
Wait a minute. If you said somebody told me that or somebody commented, I'd let that go. But when you say you know that we didn't understand the forces in Afghanistan, I think you're nuts.
Well,
I think we thoroughly understand what was in Afghanistan, and the proof of it is that after the plans were made, they totally took over and defeated the forces that were there in less than 13 days. Do you remember late November, December 2001?
I don't remember exactly.
Well, you should have before you make a statement. Now, we have 16,000 U.S. servicemen in Afghanistan, along with many, many NATO troops. It's a big, desolate country, mountainous.
Right.
Okay, anybody can hide in lots of places, but there's no organized army there that we don't know about, you see?
What I was trying to say is any war in that country is an unknown. When you have an unknown, you have to have some sort of a backup force. And what the military officer said is we did not have the forces to go into Iraq to completely subdue them with the two fronts in Afghanistan. And it's really a world problem.
Okay, but look, I differ with you again. There is no lack of forces in Afghanistan, and there isn't an enemy there that requires more troops than what we have. The only thing there that hasn't been accomplished is to find bin Laden and where he's hiding in an enormous mountainous area. Nobody seems to be able to know the answer to it, you see. And he also has the protection of tribes and in the area. But when you say that we had a two-front war and we were starving Afghanistan or we were starving Iraq one for the other, it's just simply not true, Gene. There's no general that says we've starved the war in Afghanistan with troops going to Iraq. How many more troops do you think anyone wants in Afghanistan?
Well, we have it's according to the news, and I have.
According to what news, Gene?
The newspaper said.
Which part of Iraq
is now becoming an all controlled by Al Qaeda because we don't have the troops in there to create the infrastructure.
They're also pouring in. Al Qaeda is pouring in, as they bragged last week, pulling in from Iran through Syria and other countries. Large numbers of terrorists again to build up an army. Maybe we have to put in more troops. But the people there have tried to minimize the number of troops because you realize the more troops you put in, the more who will die. You understand that, don't you?
Okay. I saw it in Vietnam and
saw it there and you know it occurs anywhere. So the generals that have been on the ground, not the generals off the side grousing, but the generals on the ground, have been the ones who have dictated the troop strength. And by the way, you forgot about NATO's in Afghanistan. Okay, we've got to move on here. Here's Kelly Denson with a KGO News update.
Thank you, Dr. Bill. This is an update from the KGO Radio Newsroom. Anti-war advocate Congressman John Murtha has received an important endorsement in his bid to become House Majority Leader. The Washington Post reports presumptive House Speaker Nancy Pelosi endorsed Murtha for the position in a letter to the Pennsylvania congressman. A suicide bomber killed at least 35 Iraqi police recruits on Sunday in the bloodiest attack in weeks. Al-Qaeda claimed responsibility. 60 people were also wounded. Other violence around Iraq brought the weekend death toll across the country to more than 100. Three U.S. soldiers were also killed. And Habitat for Humanity says it plans to build and sell 27 homes to wounded service members and families of those who have been killed in action. Most of those eligible for the pilot program will be chosen from Camp Pendleton in California. Marines assigned to that base have suffered about 10% of the casualties in the Iraq War. Let's head outside now and take a look at the roadways. An earlier traffic alert canceled in San Leandro, southbound 880 at Llewellyn Boulevard. This was a multiple car fatal crash. The roadway is now clear. We have emergency crews still on the scene, but traffic is now moving in both directions. And in San Jose, southbound 87 at 101, it's a stalled vehicle partially blocking the roadway. Apply for the Alaska Airlines Visa Signature Card and receive 20,000 bonus miles upon approval. Visit myalaskacard.com to apply and for more information. Taking a look at KGO weather now for the San Francisco Bay Area for your evening. It's expected to be mostly cloudy with a chance of rain throughout the Bay Area. Low temperatures are expected to be in the 40s, and rain is also expected throughout the Bay Area tomorrow. Right now in San Francisco, 57 degrees and cloudy. I'm Kelly Denson, KGO Radio News.
Say, how would you like to be able to record your favorite radio show the way you can program a VCR to record your favorite television shows? Well, guess what? The Sea Crane Company in Fortuna, California has produced a recorder that'll do that for you. You don't have to be there every 30 minutes to flip over an audio cassette. They've produced the VersaCorder. It can be programmed just like a VCR, and it holds up to 4 hours of audio on just one side of a 120-minute cassette tape. That means you don't have to be there, as I said, to flip over a cassette tape all the time. And you can even program those 4 hours into smaller segments to record different programs. Again, same way you can record your television shows. It's that kind of versatility that lets them call it the VersaCorder. And this is really a general-purpose recorder. I have one. Not only will it record your radio shows, it'll take the signal out of anything, any radio that has a headphone output, or even your TV. But it's also a recorder for general use. You can set it in a table for a conference call, the microphone built in, or it'll record telephone calls when they're approved with permission. You can order your VersaCorder tape recorder for just $109.95, and of course you get free ground shipping as well. And you can order right now online at ccradio.com. Or you can call the Sea Crane Company at a toll-free number, 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863 to order the VersaCorder or their free catalogs worth reading in its own right. And you can see there are hundreds of amazing products. If you want a real Christmas list, you should take a look at them before you go anywhere else. They're online at ccradio.com. West Coast over the world's greatest news talk radio station. And I'm fooling around here trying to get my screen back so I can see your calls from the San Francisco studio. Sure, we can. Here's Willie in Oakland. You're on KGO San Francisco, Willie.
Thanks for taking my call. Your powers of reasoning are really overwhelming.
Well, no, but you have to realize I have some strong opinions, and they're not necessarily any better than others, you know.
Well, so much. You have so much. I'm calling to ask someone to help me. My Westinghouse refrigerator door has broken, and I wonder if there's someone who can help me find a new handle, or if they can fix it for me. Where can I get it done?
Well, usually, do you have access to a computer, Willie?
No, I'm blind.
Uh-oh. Well, then find a friend who does, and ask them, first of all, to call just your local appliance dealer. They usually know where you can get used parts or where there are people who have older refrigerators that will have the parts for that door. There are lots of used appliance places, Willie, and you need a friend to simply look in the yellow pages and call a couple of them, and it's amazing. In one or two calls, you'll find a place that has that part.
Okay. If somebody hears about it, though, and can help.
Say, our producer, Jay Westerling, here just told me he's got an idea for you. Jay, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, Willie, how old is this fridge?
About 50 years old.
Uh-oh.
See, I knew.
Yeah.
I figured that this was going to be. Now, here's the thing you need to do, Willie. Here's your only chance.
Yeah.
You got to find. You maybe talk to a one of these junkyards or something like that. And, Bill, you probably know what you can do with an old fridge.
Oh, yeah.
But you just
got
to find someone whose fridge isn't working anymore. They have the same model, and you find one that's not working. You just have a friend take a screwdriver. They'll take the handle right off it and get it for you. That's probably the only thing we can do for you.
That's a great idea.
That's the way, Jay, these used appliance places I'm talking about, they've got yards full of old inoperable refrigerators and stoves and stuff, you know. But Willie, I have a suggestion for you, and I'm glad Jay mentioned, ask you how old it is. Have you considered simply getting another refrigerator?
I have. PG&E promises to give me another one, but I don't know how long that's going to take. And I'm attached to this refrigerator. It works perfectly.
I know, Willie, but
it's
freezer, I know. I have to tell you something, though, Willie. That refrigerator, if it's 50 years old, is costing you a lot of money every year.
Not really.
On your power bill.
Not really.
Well, maybe.
My power bill is very low.
Is it? Okay, if you're not worried about it. But the newer ones are amazing, the amount of insulation and the rebates that they're offering. I really would give it some thought if you can't fix this one. But try Jay's suggestion and look up some of these used appliance dealers, okay?
That's a great idea.
And thanks for calling, Willie. You have a beautiful voice, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you for being there.
Want to hear you more often.
Bye.
Right. Okay. Rich in San Francisco, you're on KJO.
Hi. I have a question for you. Now, of course, you know, for years they've been making synthetic oils, 100% synthetic for internal combustion engines.
Yeah.
Why can't they make a synthetic gasoline for cars?
Well, you can. And there's just no incentive in doing it. You can make a gasoline that is more pure in terms of molecules of a given length, hydrocarbons. But there's no real advantage in doing it. In the case of the synthetic oils, Rich, one of the reasons for doing it is you can make oils that will not break down as easily as the normal natural mix of molecules in regular oil. But it really doesn't have any greater lubrication qualities, frankly, until you get to very high temperature operation, extreme performance, in other words. Now, under those conditions, the synthetics do offer some advantages that the regular oils don't. And because they're more pure in terms of the size of molecules, you can actually run them longer before they begin to get dirty and degrade, okay?
Uh-huh.
But keep one thing in mind. Oil does not lose its lubrication qualities. It simply gets dirty, and it accumulates a few acids and things that are not good for the surfaces of the bearings in your engine. But other than that, you know, when you have your oil changed, the guy, you stick around and watch the guy with the truck that comes around and picks up your used oil. They take it back to a place and recycle it.
Right.
You may have been using the same oil you had taken out last year in the next can that you buy this year.
That's good.
All right.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for calling. KGO time now, 10:45. All right. Well, there's a little of what I learned from Pat Battucci and a lot more, by the way. He has a staff with a great deal of experience when it comes to investments. He'll give you a free consultation to take a look at your portfolio, your investments, no obligation whatsoever, and you can call him anytime at 1-800-472-8305. He's Pat Battucci. At 1-800-472-8305, member SIPC. Go here on the first hour of the Open Line to the West Coast. A good warm-up, and then two more hours until 1 a.m., and it gets hotter and heavier as we go along. Lines open here finally for you at 800-80-810. I've given everyone a shot here this hour, called in, got on the board. It's your turn. So load it up for the next hour here. Bernie in Kennewick, Washington. Back up to the great state of Washington.
I have a unusual toy here. It's a gigantic high-voltage capacitor, 52,000-volt rating at 2 microfarads.
Mm-hmm.
And I charge it with an X-ray transformer. And, of course, there's one hell of a bang when it jumps the electrodes.
Yes. Now, just a second. When you say toy, I assume you've got this shielded so no kid can get be around it, huh?
Oh, you bet.
Yeah, if you want to keep your heart ticking on pace, huh?
Yeah. The case of this thing is the common, and so all I have a big number 10 wire connected to that case.
Okay, it's all enclosed, so you can see the light show inside of it, huh?
Oh yeah. Well, it's I can get up to it. Yeah, I can touch it and everything.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
Well. friend of mine and I are guessing that the resistance of that arc might be around 10 ohms.
Now, the resistance of the arc?
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about now, this isn't a vacuum chamber, is it? I mean, it's just air in there, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, it's just out in open air.
Well, I can, and how far apart is the gap? How wide between the electrodes?
Inch and a quarter.
That's well, it's far more than 10 ohms, I'll tell you. In the beginning, it's thousands of ohms.
Well, it's infinite in the beginning.
No, it isn't infinite at all. It's a measurable resistance in air. On the other hand, once the arc strikes and you ionize the air molecules, then that resistance drops down to a very low number, and that's why you have the big flow of current.
Correct.
That's what's taking place. It's not linear.
Yeah. So there's a big, huge current spike from that. The number 10 wire is the discharge electrode is warm in one spark.
Yes.
So there's obviously a hell of a current that goes through there, probably only lasting a few microseconds. I'm kind of wondering if there's any way of calculating what that current is, because, you know...
Sure. If you look, from basic electricity, if you know you have a 2... What'd you say was the size of the capacitor?
2 microfarads, 52 kV.
If you have 2 microfarads charged up to 52 kV, you can calculate the total charge in coulombs. In other words, the mass of electrons stored on it.
It's listed on the capacitor.
Okay, and from that, all you have to do is make an assumption of how long the arc lasts, and that tells you the amperes of current flow. See, it's the same thing as if you had a water tank full of water, and you release it suddenly, and it all flows out. If you know you have 1,000 gallons of water and you release it and it all flows out in 10 seconds, then you know you had a flow of 100 gallons per second, don't you?
Right.
Okay.
I've tried scoping it, but we can't get the scope to trigger with this thing at the right time to measure the duration of that.
No, that's not too difficult to do. But what you need to do is you need a little pickup coil. The electric field is going to be very great when that happens. You need a little pickup coil. That you can use for the trigger of your scope. Trigger it on the rise, and you can get a picture of that discharge real easily.
Okay.
Anyway, but if you want to calculate the actual current flow in amperes, you have to assume a period of time, but it's easy to calculate the total amount of charge. In other words, the total amount of water in the tank that discharged, you see.
Yeah.
Now you can make all sorts of assumptions, and unfortunately, the current flow is not linear. It's not just a constant number, as I told you.
Oh, yeah.
Because it starts out as a small amount of current to striking across that air gap, and as soon as that ionizes the air molecules, then you have a much less resistive a pathway and a big surge of current takes place for the release. You see.
Right.
That's what happens in your lightning bolt.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
Hey, well, take care and good luck, but be careful. If you're going to put a sensor on that thing for supplying a trigger signal for your scope, do not put it inside this attachment and have a wire coming to the outside, all right?
Right.
All right. Get yourself just a big loop of wire on the outside. And you should be able to see in that loop of wire a voltage spike generated by the current flowing through it, you see. And that put that on your scope. First of all, see if you can see that. Once you get that, use it for a trigger signal.
Yeah, and it's probably producing a ton of X-rays, I suppose.
Yeah, probably, it's producing some X-rays, but I'm not so sure they're... Yeah, got to be careful here.
I haven't tried a piece of X-ray film on it yet to see.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad idea to try that, would it? I'm really not that familiar with it. You know, there's a guy that knows a lot about this stuff, and you hear him on this program all the time. His name is Chris Minx.
Huh.
And I'll bet he's going to call in here tonight if he's ever done this, because there is one of the great experimenters of all time. I mean, he's set up and done so much of this stuff that I love to hear from him. So stay tuned. He might tell you a little bit about it.
When's he on during the week?
What? No, he's a caller on this program. He doesn't do a program. He probably should. He's got the wealth of information beyond most of what I know. Okay.
Okay.
Take care and thanks for calling. Bye bye. Paul in Yuba City. You're on KGO San Francisco, the open line to the West Coast.
Good evening, Bill.
What's on your mind?
Well, I was often wondered why you're still a Bush basher. I've been hearing...
A Bush basher?
Well, that's what I've gathered.
How do you gather that I'm bashing Bush? I basically have supported the couple of major things that I think should have been done, cut taxes to let the economy grow, and go after the terrorists full bore.
Well, I guess I shouldn't have assumed this, but he's trying to get the war over in 20 years, which is good. He prognosticated that, and to get rid of terrorism in 20 years. And these ridiculous charges, I hear on the Ray Taliaferro show that he's bringing our kids home in body bag. Well, that's true, but the lethal injections, I'm not talking about that, that's governor. What I'm talking about is the mind's blown to retardation and the things like that.
What do you mean, mind's blown to retardation?
From landmines.
But what does the word retardation mean here?
Well, that's the condition. When you're hit by a landmine, you can become a paraplegic, or your mind can be blown so badly that you become retarded.
Okay,
or
well, look, war is hell. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
We didn't start this war. We aren't the ones attacking the rest of the world. We aren't the ones claiming they want to kill Americans anywhere, anytime. We aren't the ones planning more attacks on this country and the rest of the civilized world. And therefore, it's clear, yes, there are people, our servicemen, who are confronting grave danger and dying and making sacrifices, but I don't think it's anything to be ridiculed by anybody.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all. And I don't know where you got the impression that I was a Bush basher. You've heard me disagree with the Bush administration on a number of social issues, but not on the major one in terms of the war on terrorism. Or the cutting the taxes to build this economy. Those are the two big pushes that for which he's been criticized by the liberals and the socialists on the other side.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering.
One more wonder here. Okay, quickly.
Okay. 20 years, and it'll be over.
Well, I don't know. I've never heard anybody say 20 years. We may be fighting this forever.
Yeah.
You know, we've been fighting crime in this country. Nobody ever expects crime to be over with in the United States, do they?
Well,
I mean, does anybody ever expect the day when we won't need a police?
Crime will go on forever.
What?
Crime will go on.
What do you think these people are? The criminals. They're out there for the sake of killing people.
Yeah.
And there's millions of them, and they're going to be there probably forever.
A lot of it is self-survival, like thieves have to, like, say somebody's out there trying to steal a loaf of bread because they're starving to death. They get sent to prison.
Well, that has nothing to do with these guys. Hey, but I hear your comments. I'm just trying to figure them out here, Paul. Wallace in Oakland. You're on KGO San Francisco.
Yes, I don't know if you happen to see it, but the Sacramento Bee has a 6-page article about the Americans with Disability Act and the way several attorneys across the state are capitalizing on it.
It's a big scam. They go out and they use shills to go into restaurants and places to generate a lawsuit, and then they automatically get paid enormous attorney's fees, and they blackmail businesses everywhere, and they close them down. They tried this on Clint Eastwood, and he stood up to him in court and beat him, remember?
Well, I didn't recall he beat them.
He did beat them. Their claims were rejected by the court and the jury, and they just turn around and use the same shills and go around and intimidate other businesses. They've closed up businesses all over the state of California and the country.
No, it says they'll offer the handicapped person in some cases $1,000 for every business violation.
Exactly. That's exactly what they're doing. I'd like to see that. Hey, I'd like to see the article. We've hit the end of the hour here, but I'm glad you mentioned it. All right, your number, 8080810 for the next hour. Load up the switchboard, and we'll continue with you. This is KGO, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, at 810 on the AM dial everywhere.
From ABC News,
I'm Brad Wheelis. A couple of big meetings at the White House Monday. The Iraq Study Group, a bipartisan panel, will discuss preliminary findings with President Bush. The group is charged with coming up with a workable plan in Iraq. Lawrence Korb is with the Center for American Progress.
In the last election, the country basically said, we don't like what's going on now. So they're going to be looking for alternatives, and obviously if they can be embraced by both parties and both branches, they have a much better chance of being implemented.
The White House says the president is willing to consider any ideas that would help with progress in Iraq. The Saudi Interior Ministry says that Iraq is a base for terrorism, and young people from his country are being recruited. He says something needs to be done. Incoming House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is backing Congressman John Murtha to become House Majority Leader. Murtha was highly critical of the Iraq policy, and Pelosi credits him with getting the message across to voters in this past election. Congressman Steny Hoyer is also vying for the job, and he sent out a letter asking for support. The other big meeting at the White House Monday will be between President Bush and Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. And although there's plenty to talk about regarding the Israeli relationship with Palestinians, Iran will be a major topic of conversation.
The Israeli government has been sending messages and warnings that if the Americans do not respond, we will likely respond and attack Iranian targets.
ABC News Middle East consultant Fawaz Jurgis says the nuclear threat is a concern. The Iranians also support Hezbollah in Lebanon. About 300 homes are threatened by a wildfire in Riverside County, California. About 100 homeowners are being encouraged to leave, but it's a voluntary evacuation at this point.
We've been very fortunate. Firefighters attacked the fire very aggressively and have held it to 125 acres.
Sherry Patterson with the Riverside County Fire Department. The fire started Sunday in Lake Elsinore, and so far no structures have burned and there haven't been any injuries reported. You're listening to ABC News.
Have you read or seen the latest? There's more good news for those with arthritis and joint or back pain. Results from a recent study report that a group of orthopedic doctors rated Aleve as the number one most effective over-the-counter brand when it comes to relief of minor arthritis pain. That's right. Aleve was rated number one for pain relief by orthopedic doctors. Ask your doctor about the good news. Ask your doctor about Aleve. Use as directed. Survey of 260 orthopedic surgeons conducted April 2006.
Deep inside the fax machine at your office, there's a business opportunity. See this toner cartridge? With the new Discover business card, you get cash back bonus on business purchases, even more on office supplies. So this baby not only makes faxes, it makes cash for your business.
Yow! And it's also very hot.
It's time to take control with the new Discover business card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
Ground will be broken Monday on the Martin Luther King Jr. National Memorial in Washington, D.C. President Bush will be there, as will some other political leaders and celebrities. ABC's Daniela Bellotta has details.
I have a dream.
The monument will be built along the tidal basin, steps from where Martin Luther King Jr. gave this speech in 1963. Former President Bill Clinton and Oprah Winfrey, among others, will turn the first shovels of dirt during the groundbreaking ceremony. The 28-foot-tall monument with King's image chiseled into a stone of hope is expected to cost $100 million. Half has already been raised through donations. Organizers hope it will be completed by the spring of 2008. Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
5 years after the crash of American Airlines Flight 587 in Queens, New York, hundreds of relatives and friends gathered to dedicate a memorial for the nation's second deadliest plane crash. Big brawl between rival high school football teams and school officials are laying blame on parents.
School officials in Ogden, Utah say the teenagers weren't to blame. They say parents hurled insults onto the sidelines, urged players to throw punches, and even dialed Ogden High football coach Dennis Dalton on a cell phone to criticize his offensive strategy. Days ahead of the game, there were spray paint attacks on cars at both schools. Fights broke out in restaurants and parking lots around town. They're considering holding the game during the day and maybe in a neutral town next season. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
This is ABC News.
They say the best things in life are free. So, hey, why are we paying so much for our basic information and entertainment needs? The average cable TV bill has more than doubled in the last 10 years. The price of movie tickets keeps going up. So, exactly what is free today anyway? Well, you're listening to it. Local radio. Support the advertisers that support this radio station. And keep listening. We won't send you a bill. There are still some things you just shouldn't have to pay for.
I'm Brad Wheelis, ABC News.
WKGO Radio News Time, 11:05. Good evening, everyone. I'm Kelly Denson. Here's what's happening in the Bay Area and around the state. A pregnant woman was gunned down in Oakland on Saturday morning while leaving a club in Jack London Square. Oakland police say 30-year-old Deanna Smith was shot and killed in the 200 block of Webster Street around 1:30 after leaving Mingle's nightclub. Officials say Smith became caught up in crossfire between two rival groups. No arrests have been made. A 23-year-old Pittsburgh man was one of two men killed by a drive-by shooting Saturday night outside of a house party in the 800 block of East 14th Street in Pittsburgh. Police say 23-year-old Ramiro Magana was pronounced dead at Sutter Medical Center. The other victim's identity was not released. Police say no suspects have been taken into custody. And on Tuesday, Marin County's Board of Supervisors is expected to approve an ordinance that will prohibit smoking in certain indoor and outdoor work and public places. The ordinance is the result of a two-year study and is intended to reduce the exposure of secondhand smoke to youth and adults in the county. Let's head outside now and take a look at the roadways. We have an accident to report in Richmond. This is eastbound 80 at Central Avenue. It's a solo spin out. That's off to the shoulder now. In Pittsburgh, eastbound 4 at Bailey Road, a vehicle versus a fence. Emergency crews responding there. And in Pinole, westbound 80 at Pinole Valley Road, it's a vehicle on fire. That's on the right-hand shoulder. Isn't it time for a new pair of favorite jeans? Lee gives you newest fits and styles to choose from in any wash you want. Come see the new Lee and find yours. Lee, get what fits. Taking a look at KGO weather now for the San Francisco Bay Area for your evening. It is expected to be mostly cloudy with a chance of rain throughout the Bay Area. Low temperatures are expected to be in the 40s. Rain is also expected throughout the Bay Area on Monday. Right now in San Francisco, 57 degrees and cloudy. I'm Kelly Denson, KGO Radio News.
Here we go for the second hour of the Open Line to the West Coast over the world's greatest news talk radio station, KGO San Francisco, 810-810 on the AM dial, up and down the Pacific coast of this North American continent and around the world on the Internet. And portions of this hour are brought to you by Kaiser Permanente. At Kaiser Permanente, they want you to live well, be well, and thrive. We continue here now with lines open all over the switchboard for you. It'll plug up here in a hurry, but if you're quick about it, we'll have you on the air. 8080810 is your number. If you're outside the immediate Bay Area, use that free long-distance cell phone and dial one of the Bay Area area codes, 415-510-707-408 or 650. And then the magic direct number into the KGO switchboard, 8080810. Need I remind you, as I have hundreds of times, at this time of night, more than 100 million can tune in to 810 on the AM dial. And your voice is just as loud and clear as if they were right here in the Bay Area when they do. And millions are tuned in, waiting to hear from you over this, the most listened to program and radio station. We continue with Jennifer and Fremont. You're on KGO San Francisco.
Hi, Dr. Bill. How are you?
Fine. What's on your mind, Jennifer?
I have a question in reference to something a gentleman called and asked you last week about his son, saying that he wondered if the speed of the Earth would slow.
Yes.
If the structures were removed.
Yeah, I remember that. Hmm?
So my question is, how do man-made structures change the revolutionary speed of the Earth if the molecules used to form the compounds were already naturally present on the planet?
Hey, very good question. Well, this is the way it works, Jennifer. There is a phenomenon called angular momentum of any object that's spinning, and a law called the conservation of angular momentum. Namely, it doesn't change. You have to, you know, if something happens to change a configuration, you'll find the angular momentum is distributed somewhere else. Now, let me give you a good example of this. You've noticed ice skaters can start spinning with their arms and legs extended rather slowly, and without any of the change, if they pull themselves in tight, and all of a sudden they spin very rapidly, you see?
Okay.
That's because angular momentum is measured Oh, my little one just popped awake right behind me. Oh, did you hear that? Okay, she'll be all right. Let me continue. Angular momentum of an object is a combination of its shape and mass, called its moment of inertia. Okay. Plus the rate, the speed at which it's rotating. So it's the moment of inertia times its angular velocity. That's the angular momentum. If you change the shape to make that moment of inertia less, for instance, then the angular velocity has to increase in order for the product of the two to stay the same. See?
Okay. That's, so it has now a lot more to do with physics than with weight.
Oh, yeah, it has to do with physics and weight. Now, here's the thing. Anytime you take the mass of an object that's rotating and move some of it farther out from the center, you change its moment of inertia.
Okay.
That means that its rotational speed has to change or decrease so that the product of the two stays the same.
Okay.
So it boils down to this. Even though it's the same mass, it's the mass and a combination of how far that mass is from the center of rotation that makes up this thing called the moment of inertia. Okay.
Interesting.
Okay, so if we and go back to the ice skater again, you've seen that and you understand that.
Of course.
You know, you feel that, but people don't understand why. There is one of the most visible forms of the conservation of angular momentum. That ice skater starts out with a kick or two to get rotating, and his or her body has the arms extended and what have you, and so he or she has a certain a moment of inertia, as it's called, mass times distance from the center of rotation. But when she changes that and pulls her arms and legs in tight, her moment of inertia drops. So the angular rotation speed has to increase, see? And you see it right in front of you, with no other force being put on them. And so if man moves objects farther away from the center of the earth, like building skyscrapers, or dams up big rivers into reservoirs, you see. We've moved more of the mass of the Earth farther away from the center of the Earth. We change its moment of inertia, and therefore the rotational speed has to decrease to compensate for this increase in the moment of inertia to keep the same product, the same total angular momentum, as it's called.
Fascinating.
That makes sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, now let me give you one other example that many people are curious about. The moon is actually escaping us. Some millions and millions of years away, it'll be gone. Why? Because the Earth and the moon together as a system have a certain angular momentum. The Earth's angular momentum is decreasing. Okay?
Why is that?
Well, because of the friction forces of the tides, the earth, the water frictional force on the surface of the earth is actually slowing us down a little bit. And because of that, since the total angular momentum has to stay the same, the moon has to do something to increase the total, to keep the total angular momentum constant. It's moving away a little bit. By moving away from the center of rotation, its moment of inertia goes up. It contributes a little more angular momentum to take up for the part that the Earth is losing. See?
So it's compensating?
It's compensating.
Okay.
And it has to compensate in this way such that it moves farther away from the Earth, or actually farther away from the center of mass of the Earth and the Moon. But as it moves farther away, if the day the Earth slows down enough, the Moon's going to be gone. See? And there's another example of the conservation of angular momentum.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. That was wonderful.
Well, I hope I gave you some analogies that make sense.
It did, and I'm going to look further into it. Yeah. I appreciate it.
You can now you can go do all sorts of fun experiments. Your top, you know, the little spinning top or the gyroscope? These are some of the great examples of conservation of angular momentum, see? Because
right.
Because it not only is a number, but angular momentum is a vector. It's a direction, and it does not want that direction to change, see? So, we can go on to the next one when you try a little bit, okay?
Thank you, Dr. Bell.
Hey, thanks for calling KGO. Bye-bye. KGO time now, 11:15. About 10 years ago, I had a place over in the Central Valley where it's hot in the summer, cold in the winter. And I made a very big investment. I changed out all the old noisy, drafty single-pane windows, replaced them with some top-of-the-line dual-pane windows and doors. $7,800 investment. Made amazing improvement in the looks and appraised value of that place. Big reduction in energy bills. But about 3 years later, I learned about a company called newpane.com, spelled N-E-W-P-A-N-E, like windowpane.com. They supply all these top-of-the-line dual-pane windows and doors and do installations and all that good stuff. So I logged on, and I put in the specs on the job I'd already had done. And bingo, I got back a quote for a full installation, $1,300 less. Exactly the same windows. Fully guaranteed. And a lot of folks have discovered the same thing because thousands have been using them. They can give you customer references from Sonoma to San Diego, and if you do contact them, they'll suggest you call some of these references before you sign up with them. But NewPane.com supplies all the top-of-the-line windows by the thousands to developers and contractors on a volume basis and volume discounts. They can give you the same better guarantees as anyone else. And when you call them, they'll send an expert out to do precise measurements and schedule an installation generally within 28 days for your home. If you can't log on to newpane.com, where, by the way, you can look at 100 combinations, you'll never hear from them until you call them. But if you can't log on, you can call them. They have an 800 toll-free number, an office in the Woodland-Dixon area, 800-614-7263. That's 800-614-7263 for newpane.com. You on the open line to the West Coast over KGO, San Francisco, the most listened to program and radio station. And a few lines are waiting for you this hour at 80-80-810. David in Newcastle, California. You're on KGO, San Francisco.
How you doing? KGO, yeah, that last question was inspiring.
Which one is that?
I'm on the phone, dear. The one about the angular momentum.
Oh, okay.
Conservation of that's really inspiring. The kids are asking those questions. I was curious. Do you think the same? I had a different question, but would that? How would that apply with the general entropy of elements to hydrogen and the losing of each electron? How would that?
I don't follow you there at all. You said the what? The general entropy?
Yeah, of elements. You know. Toward hydrogen, you know how they kind of seek to be hydrogen in the end?
Well, yeah, if you could break them all up, but that really isn't our experience. If you look out in the universe, there are certain sort of stable slots that that the larger atoms or nuclei want to drop back to, but not necessarily the hydrogen. You know?
Yeah.
You realize hydrogen isn't the... hydrogen isn't the least energy state configuration, if you want to get into that. But I don't know how we can really cover that on the radio.
Yeah, you know, I'll go back to my other question. Yeah. But, yeah, KGO is the greatest, that's for sure. I was wondering if you thought that basically if George W. Backed down when he went ahead and let Mr. Rumsfeld go,
Well, you know, it's always fun for the carpers and the whiners to say, oh, we made them admit the mistake.
Right.
You know, when you have a tough problem, this war is a very tough problem.
Yeah.
Because we're up against some of the most creative and intelligent and yet devious people in the world.
Yeah.
And no war takes place as planned. Any general will tell you that plans go out the door the day the war starts.
Right.
You have to improvise. You have to do as you do in a football game if you're going to win. And you're not guaranteed to win. But there is no guarantee that somebody made a mistake. There is only the thing you conclude is you're not doing well enough to win. See?
Right.
Now, you've only made a mistake when the slobber mouths and the loud mouth critics can prove a better way and win. That proves you're wrong. You were wrong in the past, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We have yet to see what those on the Democratic side who may indeed have much better idea, we have yet to see whether in fact they can really do a better job in the war on terror, and they can win, and they can solve all these problems after they've criticized others who were trying. See?
Yeah, basically, now, complaining without an answer is purely sentimental.
Well, but the world will know, and the public will know over the next couple of years, and I welcome it because it was getting so sickening to listen to the soft bottoms and the whiners and the complainers who think this is a non-problem. After the world's been threatened and blasted and blown up and slaughtered all over the place, because they're comfortable, it didn't happen to them yet. Now, when they prove they have a better solution, that they can make the threat of terrorism go away, then they will have proved that George W. Bush was wrong and other people were wrong. But if they can't do that, then they're just in the same category. They're not necessarily wrong, but they didn't come up with enough of what is right.
Right.
To solve the problem.
Yeah.
And it's clear we have not made the progress or come up, and the Republicans didn't come up with, or Bush administration didn't come up enough with what's right in the eyes of the American public.
Well, it's complicated.
Well, sure it's complicated, they will suffer the consequences because they now can take full responsibility and do have full responsibility, you see.
And I think what you said earlier is more true than even finding out what's wrong about what George Bush has done. You treat them like criminals. They're basically just criminals. You know, if you glorify them and you call them jihadists and, you know, give them all this status, they're just thugs. You know,
the problem is you have large numbers of Americans who glorify them. You have large numbers of Americans, and there's no question about it, who want America to lose. It's obvious to you. You've heard them. You see them all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know why.
They want America to lose. In many cases, it's simply they hated George W. Bush so bad they'd sacrifice America to try to embarrass him. The problem is that some of them are so incredibly stupid, they don't realize they're not going to hurt George W. Bush. George W. Bush has been president of the United States. He will be for another 2 years.
Yeah.
You don't take somebody down who's reached that level.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if you're a keyboard crawler, And a sideline critic, you can sound very smart by saying how you know other people are stupid and you're so bright.
Exactly.
When you haven't done something, when you haven't solved the problem, you're not so bright.
Yeah, George Bush, he don't play the gotcha game.
Another thing that you know they don't really notice, he doesn't go out and blame the Democrats. He doesn't gloat over their failures.
Yeah, you know, and it was police work that undid that thing in the UK. You know, it's just good old gumshoe.
Yeah, and you want to understand the threat we're looking at here in the United Kingdom, in Britain, much smaller country. They've uncovered over 1,600 who were involved in as many as 30 or 40 other activities that they were planning. How many do you think are being planned for this country?
Yeah.
All right. Just stay tuned to see what happens to us now, because those who complained so much, those who said they had a better idea or there are better ways, can have to prove it now, you see?
Yeah.
And already many of them are running for cover. You see my emails. They're madder than hell. Well, you mean we really have to? How come we have to perform? George W. Bush didn't perform, so why do we have to? Well, you have to perform because we have a problem in protecting this nation and future generations, no matter which side of the political spectrum you're on.
Yeah,
somebody's got to perform.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know the guys doing that are our servicemen overseas making that sacrifice, and they deserve a hell of a lot more than what they got.
You got that right. That's my only gripe with Rumsfeld when he's when he was asked about the uploading, he said, go dig in the dump for armor.
But let me tell you something. You think that was so simple that you could? I personally know the guys who did the up armoring of the Humvees.
Yeah.
I work with them.
Yeah.
They're over at Lawrence Livermore National Lab. Dr. Milton Finger has been the head of that program along with some others.
Exactly.
And we know what can and can't be done. Today, do you know one of the biggest complaints after they have up-armored these Humvees with extra armor? You know what some of the complaints have been?
It slowed them down.
It slowed them down?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's one thing. Same thing you heard all of the smart guys saying, well, gee, isn't it terrible we didn't put bigger body armor on our soldiers? Do you know what the soldiers are complaining about who are given the extra body armor?
A little bit too warm.
Not only too warm, but too burdensome to the point where they're in extra danger.
Yeah.
So there are trade-offs both ways. But when you listen to a bunch of slobbering ex-husbands sitting on bar stools criticizing their ex-wife who's got two jobs and taking care of the kids, this is what you get out of them. It comes out of both sides of their mouths, and anybody, they can slow down and listen to them.
Okay? Yeah, that's
and you get it on late-night radio 40, 50 hours a week, so be my guest. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, take care. KGO time now, 11:26. How many of you remember the great dot-com bubble of the 2000-2001 era when we lost about half of our retirement savings? At least I did, and many others, I'm sure. A lot of it's come back since then, but the reason there was a loss then, it didn't happen overnight. It happened over a period of time, and we lost it because there was no one watching our investments. Well, it's nice to have somebody who can do that if you can't do it full-time yourself. And there is a nice guy to help you with that. His name is Pat Vitucci. He's an independent financial advisor, and Pat leads several AIG financial advisors' offices around the Bay Area. He's a local guy, and as I said, he's an independent financial advisor. That means he's not obligated to steer your investments into any particular fund or area. He is fee-based, so he doesn't work on commissions. He's not there to churn over your investments to make commissions. Pat has the same motivation you do. He wants your investments to grow. That's the only way his fees will grow. Well, Pat's a good guy to talk to, and he'll be glad to provide a complimentary consultation for you and take a look at your investments. No obligation. Don't invest and forget is his mantra. Also written a book by that title. Very interesting. You can call Pat Vitucci anytime for that free consultation at 1-800-472-8305. He's Pat Vitucci, 1-800-472-8305. And here's Kelly Denson with a KGO News update.
Thank you, Dr. Bill. This is an update from the KGO Radio Newsroom. President Bush says he's willing to take a new look at the situation in Iraq. White House Chief of Staff Josh Bolton told CBS's Face the Nation, the president agrees that U.S. policy in Iraq isn't working well enough or fast enough for the American people. A suicide bomb attack in western Baghdad has killed at least 35 Iraqi police recruits. Sunday's attack was the bloodiest in weeks. Other violence around Iraq brought Sunday's death toll to more than 100. And CBS paid its respects to reporter Ed Bradley tonight, devoting its entire 60 minutes program to him. Bradley died last week of leukemia at the age of 65. Let's head outside now and take a look at the roadways. An accident in Oakland. This is westbound 24 after Claremont Avenue. It's a solo car crash. The on-ramp was blocked earlier. And in Martinez, eastbound 4 before Alhambra Avenue. Look out for a pedestrian spotted walking in the slow lane. In Pinole, westbound 80 at Pinole Valley Road, reports of a vehicle on fire. This is on the right-hand shoulder, and we have emergency crews responding there. Feel the undeniable power of Panasonic Plasma. No other big-screen experience comes close. Experience the power at Panasonic.com. Panasonic, America's best-selling plasma TV, available at Circuit City. Taking a look at KGO weather now for the San Francisco Bay Area for your evening. It is expected to be mostly cloudy with a chance of rain throughout the Bay Area. Low temperatures are expected to be in the 40s. Rain is also likely tomorrow throughout the Bay Area. Right now in San Francisco, it's 57 degrees and cloudy. I'm Kelly Denson, KGO Radio News.
And we're back to the open line to the West Coast over KGO. Kent in Newark, you're on KGO.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Bill. First of all, I want to thank you for allowing those of us who never got more than 100 on a test, and that was because there was 300 possible, to be so comfortable with your intelligence. It's very welcoming. Thank you.
Hey, I don't claim to be the smartest guy around, but I've had to do a lot of experiments to find answers, and I'll tell you, if I haven't done the experiment, I won't tell you for sure that I really know what I'm talking about.
Well, good. I was removing a bolt out to change my shock absorbers on my car, and the lower one down by the axle, the head busted off.
No.
Of course, I busted a couple of knuckles doing it, too.
Oh, boy.
You've probably never done that, have you?
Oh, are you kidding? you just mentioned one of the ugliest things in my life. Every time my dad busted the head off a bolt, and it was usually in the head of some old engine, I used to run because I knew the minute he broke it, he'd say, I could hear the scream, Billy! That meant, Billy, get your butt over here and get this broken bolt out. And, you know, I don't know how many times you drill a hole down through the sucker, you get an easy out, you get an easy out in it, you crank on it, then you break the easy out, then you drill the easy out, and on. Oh, no, I hate them. I just hate them. Now, where you are, you've got the typical rusty bolt.
Yeah.
But you can get them out, and, you know, there's some marvelous stuff on the market now. If you go to most auto parts shops, they'll have a little bolt extractor kit.
Okay.
Now, you need to drill a hole in it. My favorite, I didn't mind great big ones. You know, what I like is if he broke the head off of a 1-inch diameter big bolt on a bulldozer somewhere. You know why I like that?
Why is that?
Because you could take another nut and set right over it and then take an arc welder and reach in and just weld a bead on the inside of that nut, and you've got a new nut on that damn bolt, and you take it out. See?
You cheated.
It's the little ones that are a pain in the butt. And
yes.
And I hope you're in a place where you can get the drill into it.
Yes, fortunately, it's on the lower part of the axle so that I can't get to it drilled.
All right, well, you're just going to have to be patient, but go get the extractor kit. You want to get a drill that's, tough steel drill now.
Okay.
And get the right drill for the right side of the easy out. And my advice, if you get an easy out, it's too small, you'll break it in there. Now, do you know what, have you ever seen an easy out?
Yeah, they're reverse thread kind of thing.
It's just like a tapered screw with a left-hand thread.
Okay.
And so when you pull on the easy out in the right-hand thread direction, the easy out tightens up as it's trying to pull the broken bolt out, you see.
Okay.
Now, get the biggest, easy, look, use the sizing chart they have, okay?
Okay.
And that's how you're going to get it out.
Now, can you tell me how to fix my busted knuckles?
No. You know, the old rule of that is you broke your knuckles because you had only one hand on the wrench.
That's true.
The rule of that is always put the palm, if you're right-handed, put the palm of your hand on the head of the bolt that you're pulling on, and your right hand on the wrench, and the wrench won't slip that way and bust your knuckles. See?
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
I'll remember that.
Okay. Anytime,
hey, thank you very much.
Anytime you pull on a wrench, and an end wrench in particular, on a bolt or the head of a bolt or nut, and you have only one hand on it, when the wrench slips, you're going to bust your knuckles. If you have both hands on it, it'll dampen the movement of your wrench hand. You won't bust your knuckles.
Okay. Appreciate that.
Now you know the trauma of my life, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Take care.
Billy!
Yeah, Billy, get over here. Okay, take care. KGO time now, 11:36. Say, many times I've told you how to save some energy, but how'd you like to do one thing that'll make a bigger improvement for the environment than all these goody-goody programs you hear the government and the organized environmental groups doing? Let me tell you how easy it is. If you will replace just one incandescent bulb in your home anywhere, for instance, out on a porch light or someplace where it's on all the time, a 60 or 100-watt bulb, if you replace just one of those with the bulb I'm going to tell you about, you will make a bigger improvement in the environment, or let's say reduce the impact on the environment, than all these other programs. And here it is. The Sea Crane Company has produced an LED light bulb. It's called the Vivid LED light. And it is truly amazing. The CC Vivid LED light bulb will reduce your energy consumption and save you a lot of money. It's designed to replace the inefficient bulbs you're currently using for accent lights, porch lights, reading lamps, and so forth. These new LED bulbs use only 2 watts of electricity. 2 watts compared to 60 or 100. That means it'll cost you just 80 cents per year if you leave this bulb on 12 hours a day all year long. If everyone in the United States replaced even just one bulb in their house with one of these LED bulbs, we could shut down the largest power plant in the United States. Now, keep in mind what that means. 1,000-megawatt power plant. For instance, all the solar panel installations in the state of California don't add up to a quarter of a big 1,000-megawatt power plant so far. And yet, if everyone would replace just one light bulb, get rid of one incandescent light bulb in their home, we could shut down a 1,000-megawatt power plant. We wouldn't have to burn that fossil energy. Well, you can do your part to conserve energy by switching to at least one CC Vivid light bulb. They're only $34.95 with the shipping included. And keep in mind, however, that's less than what it costs you to burn that incandescent bulb all year long. As a matter of fact, to give you a good analogy, you burn one 100-watt incandescent light bulb all year long, and a power plant has to burn a pile of coal 5 feet high. If it were sitting in your living room, it would be a good 6-7 feet in diameter, more than 1,000 pounds of coal for that one light bulb. You can give the Sea Crane Company a call at 800-522-8863. That number again for the CC Vivid light bulb, or anything else in there, 90-page catalog, 1-800-522-8863. Or you can look them up and see there are hundreds of amazing products for these, your Christmas list, at ccradio.com. The Sea Crane Company. Discover something new today. back to the open line to the West Coast of WGGL. Say, I have to put in a little bit of a plug for a long-time advertiser here that you hear me tell you about quite often every show, the C. Crane Company. Makes the CC radio and a lot of other things. But on your shopping list, if you want a real surprise, here is a company, a guy named Bob Crane. Over the years, I've been with him for 20 years when he started in the garage with one product. You ought to see what he has today. But this guy has a knack for selecting exotic and really interesting products across the board, from technology, toys, and kits to kids to learn about science, to the best radios, to shortwave, to ham radio, to garden tools, to just really clever stuff. And it's all on the web at ccradio.com. You ought to look it up for your Christmas list if you're looking for those special things for those special people. Terry in Vacaville, you're on KGL.
Hey, Dr. Bill, this is Terry.
Well, nice to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Last week, you kind of put a chill in my bones. You were talking to someone, and somehow the topic of a dirty bomb or someone smuggling in an atomic device and exploding it in the United States came into the subject.
Yes.
And you said, he said that you said an incident like that would change your life in ways you wouldn't be able to imagine.
You bet it will, and everyone who's analyzed it and all the think tanks and defense analysts and diplomats all understand what will happen. It's not a question of if, Terry. It's a question of when we are hit with some crude nuclear weapons, and it'll be two of them at least. Your life will change in ways you never believed because of the chaos that will be created in this country, and you'd better be prepared for it if we don't stop them over there.
Well, I'm kind of the same mind, and the reason why I'm calling you is I thought you might be a good one to check in with to find out how could we best prepare, like we prepare for earthquakes and so forth. How could we prepare for that now?
Yeah, you do exactly the same thing, because the basic problem you're going to face, when that happens, with high probability, by the way, mm-hmm. is there will be no infrastructure and services to take care of you. There'll be no food in your supermarket. Same thing if you had a big earthquake and everything was wiped out, or you're in the Hurricane Katrina.
Right.
Make sure you can take care of your family for several weeks at least, preferably a month,
mm-hmm.
right where you are. Because, Terry, I'm going to tell you something, in urban areas in particular, you're not going to drive anywhere. You're going to walk if you want to go somewhere.
Right.
And you better think it out. If you have to go somewhere, are you ready to walk, okay? Because your freeways will be plugged, cars will be broken down. There's no one to tow them, no one to take care of them.
Probably
this
gas.
There'll be no gas. This is what the analysts have pointed out, that a couple of these explosions in the United States will cause 10, 20 million to panic and try to flee seaboard areas. Where are they going to go in the inland areas? They're going to swamp everything that's available. There'd be no place for them to live or eat, you see.
Of course, no one's talking about this, right?
Well, a lot of people are talking about it, but no one is listening. Mm-hmm. It's like 9/11. A lot of people warned that that could be done, and no one listened, right? Including the vice president and the president and the Congress and everyone, all right? Now, when it happened, what happened to this country? It was shut down for a good week, wasn't it?
Right.
Estimated $1 trillion lost in income and value. But, look, that was a dress rehearsal compared to what will happen in this country when we're hit with a crude nuclear weapon in one of our seaports, most likely. See, it's considered alarmist to tell you this, but I'm telling you, you've heard it time and time again. Look, Ron Owens has had top diplomats on there who said exactly the same thing. No one's listening. Right now, we face a situation, if we do not stop the terrorist nations and elements that are building nuclear weapons and producing fissionable material, in other words, the material to make a nuclear weapon, if they're not stopped, this is what you're going to experience someday. And look, everyone has a responsibility, Democrat, Republican, like, will be held responsible for that. You know, the ironic thing, I was asked to write a paper on this a few years ago, and everybody around the world agreed with me. When this happens, whatever government is in place will be totally discredited. You realize they will be totally thrown out of office? When this happens, if this kind of chaos takes place,
mm-hmm.
whatever government, Republican, Democrat, whoever's sitting in office, will be totally discredited and thrown out of office.
That's true.
Now, you'd think as a matter of survival, they'd get smart today and say, we better make sure this doesn't happen in Iran or North Korea or Syria or someplace else, you see. But, hey, they don't worry about it. Hey, the attitude is, what me, man? You know, somebody else will solve the problem, see?
Hey, Bill, in terms of the level of radiation, what do you think we're looking at?
That isn't going to be the problem. A crude nuclear weapon detonated, say, in San Francisco Bay or the Oakland Harbor or Los Angeles or New York will cause great damage locally, maybe kill as many as 10,000 or 100,000 people. But beyond that local area, people are not going to be affected by radiation, or the blast isn't going to be the problem. It's going to be the chaos.
Chaos, yeah.
The chaos. What do you think a family will do if it has no place to go, can't feed its own children, and shows up at your doorstep? What do you think ordinary people will do?
I think they'll just take whatever they can get.
It's unthinkable. It's unthinkable what's going to happen, you
Anarchy,
see.
I guess.
And that's the part that's hard for people to fathom.
Mm-hmm.
But it will happen because, you know, any parent is going to be desperate to take care of their own children.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to even get to their children in a school if it happens during the day and the freeways are plugged, huh?
Yep.
Well, this is the kind of thing that we must prevent. But who are those who are dedicated to doing it? The people who are saying we've got to do it laugh at anybody else that wants to confront these terrorists overseas. I mean, we're the bad guys, huh?
Right.
Well, just wait and see who's the bad guys. And the interesting thing is, you got me going on it, the retaliation that will take place when we're hit that way will be horrible. It'll be 10 times the destruction of anything we could do to go over there and prevent it today.
Mm-hmm.
Because the call and the demand of the population here will be for massive retaliation mm-hmm. against every country that could have done this, you see.
Oh, that's true.
Wipe them out.
That's what
the call will be. And your soft bottom liberals who think that America is evil and it's all somebody else, they will be screaming more than anybody because you know something? They are typically helpless. They're typically totally dependent on other people and the government to take care of them.
Mm.
So there you are. You got me going. But does that give you? And look, the term dirty bomb, that dirty bomb means nothing.
That makes it sound really innocent, doesn't it?
No, Terry, dirty bomb means nothing. Dirty bomb is a bag of radiation, of radioactive material. You know what you do if somebody blows up radioactive material over your town? You walk away and take a bath. That's how, radiation is like sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
If you stand there with no clothes in the Sahara Desert all day long in the sunlight, you get burned and killed, right?
Right.
Radiation is the same way. One thing about radiation is you can detect it instantly. You know it's around, and it's time to take a shower and get the hell out of there.
Okay?
It's the explosion, the actual atomic bomb that explodes, that is the real danger. Okay?
And the destructive one.
The dirty bomb thing is a total hysteria subject, really. It really is. So.
Well, thanks an awful lot, Bill. I appreciate your time.
Take care. KGO time now, 11:50. Oh, boy, here's that big word I often don't use. Chrysanthemums. Beautiful flowers. They're the queen of the fall flowers. And a great place called Farm Fresh Flowers in Southern California has fields that are currently abundant with the golden jewel. You can take advantage of this Thanksgiving season or for this Thanksgiving season by going to farmfreshflowers.com and ordering some of these flowers. You can send them to anyone. You'll love anyone who loves a humongous bouquet of these long-lasting blooms, I should say. Imagine how beautiful your Thanksgiving table would look, adorned with an abundance of fall-colored flowers. Place your order now and receive a 10% discount off of any bouquet. Just type in the code KGO, and they'll deliver the flowers the next day. Why not send them to your Thanksgiving host the day before Thanksgiving? These beautiful bouquets will arrive on Wednesday and delight your host as he or she prepares their home. Or if you're unable to go home this holiday, what a delightful way to show your family how thankful you are for them and wish you could be there. Send them some of these beautiful bouquets from Farm Fresh Flowers. You can order at farmfreshflowers.com or call them at a toll-free number, 800-999-2109. And don't forget the coupon code KGO to get your discount. And tell them Bill Wattenberg, KGO, sent you. Line to the West Coast with you here, and Jim in La Honda, you're on KGO.
Yes, Mr. Wattenberg.
What's on your mind, Jim?
Well, what's on my mind is it's not exactly a question because I know the answer, but I would like America to know something. I was in a public establishment, and people told me that, like, how can George Bush send people into combat when he was never in combat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my commander-in-chief, my president. Okay, well, I already know the answer to this, but I think America should know. How many presidents sent people into combat that never was in combat?
How many? Most of them.
Yeah, most of them.
I think George
people
Bush.
Don't believe that.
That's George Bush Sr., George Bush Sr. Was the only one I can think of here in the past 20th century. Before that, of course, there were a number of generals. Oh, no, Ike Eisenhower. What's the matter with me? President Eisenhower.
Eisenhower never sent any people into combat. He had some U-2 flights.
Yeah, but he himself was in combat as a military officer, commander of our forces in World War II in Europe. And then, of course, later became president. George Bush Sr., the same, was a pilot before becoming president. And both of them sent our troops into combat, or at least commanded our troops. You know, Eisenhower took over the Korean War. Bush sent our troops in the Gulf War.
Well, Roosevelt was never in combat.
That's true.
That's World War II.
That's true, and he was a very, very respected president.
Well, America should know that we don't need a commander-in-chief just to be a commander-in-chief.
Well, no, look, that was a good talking point of the sideline critics who wanted to rag on George W. Bush. You know that. And the same thing happened, however, when Clinton was in office. He was criticized because he never served in the military. But, you know, that's politics. It's not fair. I agree with you, Jim, and I'm glad you brought it up. Okay, take care. Thanks for calling. Roselle and Campbell, you're on KGO, San Francisco.
Oh, hi, Dr. Bill. Thank you for taking my call. I'm actually very nervous. This is the first time I've ever called.
Well, you sound great. Hey, calm down. Don't worry about it.
Anyway, the reason I was calling, I know how supportive you are of the troops, and I've always appreciated that and admired it. Tonight I was watching on Channel 4 a program about echoes of war, and it was about the families of servicemen that had been and women that had been killed.
Yes.
In Iraq.
Yes.
And I don't know, I was just compelled to call. I just felt like I'm sitting at home, and I'm really, I feel you know, great empathy for the families. And I was wondering, I know, like, KGO has, like, for Thanksgiving, Bernie Ward, I know, and I send in for donations and that, and I thought, God, it would be so nice if we could say thank you to these families. A lot of them have young children, and I thought for Christmas, how nice if, you know, we could all sort of band together.
Yeah. It's a great idea, Roselle. I believe there are a number of organizations that that represent the families of servicemen fallen in duty, as well as the servicemen who are over there serving now.
Right.
I'll tell you what, our producer, Jay, will look up some of these, hopefully find one or two, and we'll post this on my webpage on KGO.com. Do you have a way to get to the computer?
Yes, I do.
Well, go to KGO.com, the radio side, and on that homepage, click on Personalities.
Uh-huh.
And now you'll see all the faces. Scroll way down to mine, and then click on my webpage. And on that webpage, I post lots of articles and information and links and so forth. We'll try to find something for you and all others that you can connect to contribute with or communicate with the families of our servicemen, huh?
Okay.
We'll see if we can find something for you, Roselle, and thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Great suggestion. By the way, you speak well. Don't be timid. We want to hear from you more often, all right? Bob in San Francisco, you're on KGO.
Yes. Do you see much of a threat or a problem with the way our borders are now as far as terrorists are concerned?
Yes, same threat. Look, everywhere you look, the door is open. We have no way of closing it. The shipping containers are one of the biggest open doors to send stuff that would be dangerous into this country. Our borders, there's no way you can monitor 2,000 miles of borders, and that we ever will be able to.
Do you see much hope of doing it with drones or satellites?
No. Look, a dedicated terrorist who's clever enough and dedicated enough to go commit suicide, to commit some great act of terrorism, or to do what those did in 9/11, they'll find a way to come across that border with the means of what they need to try to do their handiwork. The only way to stop them, Bob, is to go after their leaders who told them to do it. See?
Okay.
I don't care what anybody says. You take out 10 or 100 of them, and there are another 100 or 200 more to take their place as long as the leaders keep changing and sending them out. See, that's the lesson that Reagan taught us when he went after Gaddafi in Libya, remember?
I remember it
when
well.
He went after Gaddafi, bang, it stopped. He shut up, backed off, and his henchmen disappeared, you see.
And would you say the same thing about the borders around Iraq?
Yes.
Okay.
There's no question. The main support for terrorism and the killing and mayhem is coming from Iran. It's known, it's measured, it's seen every day. Same thing is true with Hezbollah and Hamas. Surrounding Israel, the money's coming from Iran. It funneled through Syria. It's wide open. They brag about it. So I appreciate your call. I'm sorry we've hit the end of the hour. Another full hour coming up to the open line to the West Coast after the midnight news. Stay with me. Your number, 8080810. This is KGO, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, at 810 on the AM dial everywhere.
ABC News. I'm Brad Wheelis. President Bush meets with the Iraq Study Group today at the White House. The panel is charged with coming up with a workable strategy in Iraq. And even though there's been a lot of talk about bipartisanship in Washington last week, it may be tough for Republicans and Democrats to agree on a strategy. More from ABC's Andy Field.
Democratic National Committee Chairman Howard Dean tells Fox News Sunday that voters made it clear they're fed up with Iraq.
It is not our job to prop up an incompetent regime. And this regime in Iraq looks more and more incompetent as time goes along.
But Republican Senator Arlen Specter tells CNN's Late Edition the president cannot just bring the troops home.
Being there, we don't want to withdraw if we're going to leave chaos.
On Monday, a bipartisan study group tells the president how it thinks the U.S. can end the current chaos. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Iraq's prime minister says he'll reshuffle his cabinet, but will that help end the violence? Dr. Gordon Adams with the Woodrow Wilson International Center spoke with the BBC.
It seems quite clear that the central government does not have control in the country. It seems quite clear the militias have a great deal of control.
Saudi Arabia's interior minister says Iraq is a base for terrorism and the situation is deteriorating daily. He calls it a threat to the entire region. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert is in Washington. He'll meet with President Bush today to discuss the relationship with the Palestinians, as well as the nuclear threat Iran poses. A wildfire is burning in Southern California, and about 100 homeowners have been encouraged to evacuate. The fire started last night about 75 miles east of Los Angeles, and while it's threatening homes, it hasn't touched any yet.
As of yet, we have no injuries and no structures damaged.
That's Sherry Patterson with the Riverside County Fire Department. Cooler weather is helping firefighters, and they've managed to keep the 125-acre wildfire from growing. Former President Gerald Ford hit a milestone yesterday, becoming the longest-living American president, surpassing Ronald Reagan, who died in 2004. You're listening to ABC News.
You may be sitting there right now wondering how you're going to make it through the day, the night, the next plane flight, job interview, or social event. Maybe you'll have a drink. Maybe you'll take another pill. Maybe you're so anxious and depressed that you just really can't help yourself. Do you worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down? Anxiety and depression are two of the most common reasons people take prescription medication, abuse alcohol, and make excuses for why their life isn't working. This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence and dreams, remember? Well, it's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that could help you get your life back. You want to feel better. You just don't know what to do. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me help you help yourself.
For your free tape that could change your life, call 1-800-446-2204. That's 1-800-446-2204. 1-800-446-2204.
Hundreds of hospitals in this country are trying a new approach to treating heart attack victims. It's not new technology, it's just a quicker response. Dr. Harlan Krumholtz with the Yale University School of Medicine.
If we can get these systems down, treat people rapidly, we can really mitigate the potential harm of a heart attack.
Some ideas are simple, like authorizing the emergency room to call a specialist without first consulting a cardiologist, and requiring heart catheterization specialists to arrive at the hospital 20 minutes after they're paged. Researchers say attempts should be made to reopen blocked arteries within 90 minutes of a patient's arrival. Fewer than a third of patients undergo the procedure now, and response time is critical to survival. The old saying goes, don't get mad, get even. Well, half of that may be right. Being angry isn't good for the heart, according to researchers. The story from ABC's Karen Chase.
Maybe you don't have the heart to be angry. Researchers say intense anger increases your risk of heart attack. Indiana University School of Medicine cardiologist Dr. Douglas Zipes says intense anger triggers deadly chemicals.
The sympathetic nerves are triggered. They release adrenaline that stimulates the heart and can stimulate it into developing an abnormal heartbeat.
In tests on 1,100 people, severe shocks were recorded about 7.5% of the time following incidents of rage. Karen Chase, ABC News.
And this is ABC News.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things happen in a circle? The seasons, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. The circle starts when we recycle trash. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
I'm Brad Wheelis, ABC News.
KGO Radio News Time is 12:05. I'm Carolyn Burns, and here's what's happening. Three separate accidents caused a major freeway to be shut down Sunday night. The one rollover accident just north of Washington Street sent three children to Oakland Children's Hospital and two adults to another area hospital. There was a second rollover in the very same vicinity, just seconds apart. It was also southbound on 880. That sent two passengers to the hospital with major injuries. And then, believe it or not, there was a third accident. It occurred in the northbound direction in the very same area. That did send one passenger to the hospital with minor injuries. Needless to say, a SIG alert was issued around 815.
All lanes were shut down. Lifelight had to be brought in. As of yet, we have no word on the condition of the children that were sent to Oakland Children's Hospital. The SIG alert was finally lifted around 10 p.m. Now let's head outside and check the traffic. Right now in Hayward, northbound 880, just before Winton Avenue, we have a car up against the right-hand shoulder guardrail there. Vehicles facing the wrong way in the slow lane. In Hercules, westbound 80, right after Highway 4 there, we do have a vehicle on fire on the right-hand shoulder. An emergency crews are on scene there. Traffic is brought to you by Toyota Camry Hybrid. The Camry Hybrid gets an EPA estimated 40 miles per gallon in the city, so now you can drive more while producing fewer emissions. Toyota Camry Hybrid. It's a whole new breed of Camry. Right now in the Bay Area, it's mostly cloudy with some light rain in the North Bay. It's 50 degrees in Santa Rosa, 56 degrees in Hayward, and right now in San Francisco, it's cloudy and 56 degrees. I'm Carolyn Burns, KGO Radio News.
KGO News Talk 810.
Now we begin a new broadcast day over station KGO San Francisco on this new day, the 13th day of November, the year 2006. This is the third and final hour of the Open Line to the West Coast. I'm Bill Wattenberg, your host, and you're the stars of this program when you pick up the telephone and dial that magic number, 8080810, that takes your voice around a third of the world here tonight, at least from Alaska to Central America out to the Rocky Mountains and all over on the Internet. So come along and join in. Going to need another 20 of you here this hour. Half of you already lined up here, but that many waiting for you in terms of lines, so be quick about it and come along. We continue with Mildred in Santa Rosa. You're on KGO.
Suya.
Hello.
Suya.
Well, we're waiting for Mildred on KGO here.
Suya.
Hey, Pete in Danville, you're on KGO here.
Hey, that was kind of strange.
Yeah, that is a little strange. What's on your mind?
Hey, you know, I'm a high technology guy, so I've worked in a lot of different positions. And, you know, I've been very, very curious about the depth of this, going back to the dirty bomb scenario. And has there ever been a published study that would basically highlight to us, you know, what the impact range is? Let's say if it occurred in the port of Oakland, you know, how many miles, how much of a perimeter are we going to have to deal with? I mean, is Walnut Creek safe because it happened in Berkeley?
Look, let's just take some examples, okay?
Sure.
The amount, first of all, the thing people call a dirty bomb, and most of the people talk about it don't know what the hell they're talking about. It just sounds like a good thing to scare people with. They're referring to an explosive charge that is surrounded by some radioactive material. They imagine spent fuel rods out of nuclear power plants, for instance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're far more radioactive stuff than that, for instance. Cobalt-60 would be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, they imagine radioactive material, and the most abundant, the most available would be spent fuel rods out of a nuclear power plant, all right? They have some very hot, highly radioactive isotopes in them.
Mm-hmm.
So their concept is you'll get a box full of normal chemical explosives, TNT, in other words, and you put a lot of this radioactive material in there so that it can be blown long distances and spread over an area. The truth is, without high winds aloft, without Mother Nature helping you, you're not going to spread it very far. The normal explosion itself, if you had, take 10 tons of TNT in a shipping container.
Mm-hmm.
That explosion would do great damage for several city blocks, all right?
Mm-hmm. Not a very large kill range.
Right? Not a very large kill range in terms of killing people. Several blocks, you might have, you know, you could possibly kill several thousand people. And if you are loaded with some radioactive material, then that stuff would get spread for maybe three or four times that area, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's about the range of it. But look, for instance, just how dangerous it is. The minute it happens, someone's going to know there's some radioactivity around, okay? Even if it takes an hour or two to find it isn't going to be that bad. The minute there's radioactivity, you put out the word, get the hell out of there, change your clothes, and take a shower, okay? A little bit of radioactivity on you is no different than a little bit of radioactivity in your dental x-ray, see? Now,
right.
There are some radioactive materials that could be so hot, so intense in radiation, that if a little of it spread on you, you could get localized burns, but it's very unlikely that anyone would receive a lethal dose of radiation. 500 millirentians or more, you see, is what it's called. Now, somebody very close, maybe a few could get that. But the point is, it's really mass hysteria has been created over dirty bombs because the most dangerous damn thing of all is the same 100 pounds of TNT used on a bridge or a building where you can kill thousands.
Exactly.
See? The same explosive chemical charge necessary to make this hypothetical horrible dirty bomb can do far more damage if it's used other places wisely, okay?
So if we were
that's
able...
That's what's so crazy about it. Now, let me find... I want to finish this for all the folks listening now.
Sure.
Imagine a boxcar load of rattlesnakes, okay? Okay? That would indeed be dangerous if somebody rolled that boxcar into your community and blew the doors open, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
All the rattlesnakes would get out. But how many people do you think would be dumb enough to get killed?
Running from a rattlesnake?
When you can see the damn rattlesnake, huh? And if you see a rattlesnake, what do?
You just take cover.
You get out of there, don't you?
Yeah.
You grab your kids and get out of there. You do the same thing if there's a dirty bomb and some radioactivity sprinkled over your community. You get out of there, you go take a shower. See? Now, there are good people that'll go pick up the rattlesnakes, aren't there? And someday, it might take a long time. Some of them are still hiding. You might rope off the area for a year until you get all the rattlesnakes. So the same thing is true. The nice thing about radioactivity, compared to the horrible side, is that you can find the damn stuff, you see? It talks to you. It says, I'm here.
Well, sure.
That's how you clean up radioactivity. You get a Geiger counter or a scintillation device, and you go locate where it is, and you sweep it up. See? Mm-hmm. But you listen to the hysteria mongers. I just laughed when you listen to the Teddy Kennedy Jr. talking about the horrible possibility of airplanes flying into our nuclear power plants and dispersing all their spent fuel rods over a big area as a dirty bomb. These poor fools don't know a damn thing about the physics or the reality of what that amounts to, and it's one of the least things we need to worry about, all right?
Well, the buffer zone around Chernobyl is what, like 30 or 40 miles? That's about it, right?
Yes, but that was not a dirty bomb that anybody's going to generate on their own for the sake of attacking us. That was the entire reactor core and the energy of that reactor core that exploded, you see?
Well, what if we actually had a thermonuclear device set off inside the bay in a container?
Well, but now you're talking about something completely different. There you're talking about an actual thermonuclear bomb. See, not a chemical dispersion of some radioactivity. You're talking about millions of times the radioactivity in the blast, okay?
And that was a scenario that actually somebody that I talked to at the lab said. He said if you blasted underneath the water, it would atomize and attach itself to the water and then drift with the winds, and it would increase the kill zone.
But they use this term kill zone. Again, I want to tell you something. The radioactivity is the least concern and danger. These guys will tell you, oh, gee, you blast the water and some of it will get radioactive. Then why in the hell don't you go take a shower, stupid?
Yeah.
Look at him and tell him, why in the hell don't you go take a shower, stupid?
So I'm not going to get fried.
No, you're not going to get fried by the radioactivity from a thermonuclear blast unless you're close enough to it that the prompt radiation, the gamma radiation, cooks you, okay?
And that's like 3 to 4 miles, isn't it?
Well, it depends on the size. Thermonuclear devices can be made in all different sizes. A typical 100-kiloton warhead, if it were detonated over the Bay Area, you'd be looking at 500,000 probably would die, all right? Depends on where.
But
if it were out in the middle of the bay, some people in Palo Alto and Fremont and San Francisco and San Jose would be relatively unharmed.
You know, and I work in technology, and I see...
Which technology do you work in?
Well, I actually do databases, and I worked at a lot of...
You work in the computer technology, which is not the physical technology.
Yeah. No, I work in the work in the programming side.
All right.
I work with large infrastructure systems, and I've worked with a lot of these companies, and I see such an Achilles heel at these large, you know, institutions, because you pick the right one at the right combination, there's a lot of things you can do. And I don't want to describe it on the radio because...
No, you don't have to, but you're alluding to the fact that you can do great economic damage.
Absolutely. You can stop this machine. It's no different than after 9/11. But my concern is that we have every day when these containers come in, we have this major Achilles heel, but we've also... We're letting our free commerce sort of become our own Achilles heel, where we're giving away the technology. I'm not going to tell you too much about who I've been, but I've had a lot of information come to me from around the country, and I've heard some pretty scary scenarios. And we're, you know, we want to save money by sending the work offshore. And yeah. In actuality, it's a great thing, and it helps other countries. But in
it's not such a great thing when you're giving away your own means of production. You eventually do not have jobs or an economy. But, hey, look, that's a whole broad subject, but I hope I answered your question about the dirty bomb, all right?
Well, Bill, it's been very enlightening talking to you. Thank you.
But go look at some of the simple physics and the numbers. Ask these people who give you the hysteria story, do you know what the hell you're talking about? Ask them how much radiation is dangerous, how it gets in your body, why don't you take a shower? Don't we know when it's there? It's no different than the rattlesnakes I told you about.
You could do more damage to the infrastructure with a backhoe than you could with a bomb.
You're absolutely right in that sense. Yeah. Thanks for calling. KGO time now, 12:18.
Well, if you see old Annie, better give her a lift, 'cause Annie's been working on the midnight shift.
This is the Midnight Show. You're listening to KGO, San Francisco, 810-810 on the AM dial. The open line to the West Coast, and there are open lines waiting for you here for the next 40 minutes. I'm going to need another dozen or more of you, so come along, join in. 800-810-810. Now, hey, here's the fellow we were looking for. I was looking for when the previous caller of the last hour was talking about his high voltage machine. Chris Minks in Napa.
Yeah, Bill.
Hey, delighted to hear from you.
I haven't really played with high voltages that much. But there was a guy at Stanford named Terman.
Oh, yes.
Who built a laboratory for testing the effects of lightning on power lines.
Yes.
And he was pre-1940.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to find him on the Internet.
Yeah, Terman. Very famous
guy in
electrical engineering. I read some of his text. I remember using one of his textbooks, I believe, when I was a student in EE at Berkeley.
Yeah, well, I used to carry around the handbook of radio handbook that he wrote.
That's right. That's what it was.
Nice soft cover red book.
Yep, you're right. That was it.
But he built a lab for doing that kind of work. Now, a couple things I would like to mention. That the dielectric and a capacitor has a slow and a fast dielectric. And the slow dielectric, if you keep the voltage on it for enough time and you think you discharged it and come back half an hour later, it's going to bite you.
Yes.
That's because the molecules of the polar long molecules that turn slowly turn back and release the charge.
Yes, yeah.
And the amount of energy in a capacitor is proportional to the square of the voltage.
Yes. Well, you heard me caution this guy that he better make sure he has an enclosure around his spark generator, huh?
Right. Well, we have one guy in our in the crystal lab in Mare Island that was cleaning the rectifier tube in a 13 kV X-ray machine, and somebody had shorted the interlocks. He ended up across the room.
Mm.
And well, there's plenty of voltage there to stop your heart if you get it between your two hands.
Oh, you bet. One of our favorite tricks, Chris, you probably remember when in the electronic labs, when I was in Corey Hall, you know, guys would always come in, mess with your experiment when you had something breadboarded. And we used to leave a few little capacitors around with a note that said, one of these is charged. We've forgotten which one it is.
Yeah.
See, just to warn them, you stick your fingers on the wrong wires, you're going to get zapped a little bit, you know.
Yeah. So. Another thing is that talking about the moment of inertia of the Earth,
yes,
in scale, the Earth is smoother than a bowling ball.
Yeah, okay.
Even with the Mount Everest.
That's true. The perturbations or the little disturbances on the surface are very small compared to its diameter, huh?
Yeah. Yep. Also, the effect of the moment of inertia is proportional to the cube of the distance from the center.
Yeah. So, you know, many have calculated that that man-built reservoirs like the Aswan Dam and so forth would produce measurable, and I don't know how they measure it, but measurable changes in the angular velocity.
Yeah, well, you know, we're talking about leap seconds for keeping track of the time, and
yes,
we get leap seconds once every third or fourth year, maybe.
Yeah.
So it's not very easy to measure.
All I know is I don't want to have to wait around to see the moon disappear. So, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling, Chris. You're always a delight and very informative.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Ben in Portland, Oregon, back up to the great state of Oregon.
Good evening, Dr. Bill.
Good evening. What's on your mind?
Have you been doing any work with the metal scandium?
No.
It seems to be incredibly strong and very light.
I'm not familiar with it. Are you, or do you work with it?
Well, no, I was just up on the pistol range here not too long ago, and some of the local police officers carrying backup guns, 357 magnums that weigh as little as 12 ounces.
Hmm. And they're made out of this metal?
Yes, and it's produced by Smith & Wesson, and the name scandium comes from its origin in Scandinavia. And it is alloyed with aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
And when the first 357 magnums came out many years ago, they weighed about 44, 45 ounces. Then we went to molychrome, and the model 19s, and they got them down around 34 ounces. Then they go down to the 416 stainless, and you come out with a small J-frame revolver at 24 ounces, and now you've got this incredibly light scandium revolver, you know, chambered for the same 357 Magnum.
And I don't know anything about it, but I'm delighted you told me. I'll have to look it up and learn a little bit, and I appreciate your call, Ben. Okay.
You're welcome, sir.
Bye-bye. Happy in Seattle, Washington. You're on KGO.
Thank you for taking my call, Doctor. I wanted your projections on a couple things, but I wanted to share some. We discussed this prior to the elections, et cetera. I am a historian and educator, and I have never in my life seen a brainwashing of a modern country like America. And one of the key points, and you've talked about this somewhat, is they're killing, you know, 30, 40, 50 or more Iraqis, the cowardly insurgents. And somehow it was shifted, those that support the left hardline Democrat, that America was responsible. I say America and our greatest troops, great troops, have protected the Iraqi people, and that's one of the main reasons they're there.
Well, it is the main reason that we're suffering casualties, that our own servicemen are in danger, is because of the thousands of actions every day that they take to support the Iraqi people, to try to help them guard their schools, their hospitals, build their government, do a variety of things. And none of it was ever reported by the media that wanted America to lose. And, hey, there's no question when you had an election this close that the difference was made by a large contingent of people who want America to lose. They think America is wrong. They see no value whatsoever in fighting the terrorists over there. And, in fact, they essentially glorify the terrorists as the good guys and Americans, and particularly the Bush administration, are the evil ones. So, fine. The American public bought that, and now the Democrats have the responsibility of solving this problem. That this is they've said they do. They have better ideas. I hope they do. We have to hope for the best for the nation.
Yes. Last quickie here. It's amazing how the media every day in the news, the newspapers on TV, make it sound like we are at fault. And if we weren't there, there'd be less Iraqis killed. And that to me is just mind-boggling. We could all be this stupid to believe this silliness.
Well, on the other hand, a lot of Americans do. It's easy. It's an easy assumption. They want easy solutions without taking any responsibility for the consequences. So, but time will tell. They're not going to wish things away. Time will tell whether they've got better answers and better solutions and what the consequences will be on Americans.
Yeah.
I believe we're going to be hit. I believe the best that the Bush administration could have done. We're still going to get hit by these guys in ways that'll be horrible. And we're still going to have to fight them and eventually go after their leaders in the world to ever stop it.
And
if not, you will live in fear the rest of your lives, and so will your children.
Yes, and, you know, the Democrats, they're so hypocritical, are the ones that wanted to go after Saddam, Osama, and it's just amazing how they acted like only Bush,
well,
only his supporters.
The truth, though, Happy, is there's enough to go around on both sides. That's the nature of politics. But
Yes. All
of that in the past isn't going to help solve the problem in the future. And it's up to them now to do their part, show their better ways, their better ideas to solve the problem, or they'll be held responsible for the consequences. So take care, and thanks for calling. Bye-bye. And here's Carolyn Burns with a KGO News Update.
This is KGO Radio News Update. The U.S. is willing to adjust its methods in Iraq as long as the goal of democracy and stability remains. That's according to White House Chief of Staff Joshua Bolton. He told CNN's Late Edition President Bush has always been ready to make course adjustments.
What the president has said is that we need to get fresh eyes on the problem. We need a fresh perspective, and that's why he has asked his Pentagon, General Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, conducting a review of all of our options in Iraq. He's asked his other national security agencies to do the same.
Bolton emphasized that Defense Secretary nominee Robert Gates is the man to provide that perspective. Prospective House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is supporting anti-war advocate John Murtha's bid to serve as House Majority Leader. According to the Washington Post, Pelosi endorsed Murtha for the position in a letter to the Pennsylvania congressman. Murtha advocates withdrawing American troops from Iraq. Now let's head outside and take a look at the traffic. It's a little wet out there in Hayward, northbound 880. Just before Winton Avenue, we do have a car versus the right-hand shoulder guardrail there. It's facing the wrong way in the slow lane. Golden Gate Bridge says traffic is a little bit below the speed limit. However, it is light in both directions. And on the Bay Bridge right now, westbound 80 at the toll plaza, the metering lights are off. There are no substantial delays at the tolls. Traffic is brought to you by Cold FX Capsules. Find out what top athletes use to stay healthier. Introducing Cold FX Capsules in the cough and cold section. When you need to stay on your game, Cold FX it. Check out ColdFX.com. It's 55 degrees with some light rain in San Francisco. I'm Carolyn Burns, KGO Radio News.
And we're back to you on the open line to the West Coast over KGO San Francisco. Marcus in Sacramento, you're on KGO.
Yes, Dr. Bill.
What's on your mind?
I wanted to complain. You keep saying that the Democrats thought there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, but that's because the Wolfowitz Office of Special Projects deceived them into it. So it's not a valid argument.
I see. Well, let's go back for a little history. In fact, I've got a little of the facts for you. You want to hear the real words of the Democratic leaders?
Sure.
Would you like to hear that?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to tell our engineer, Richard, to get ready with the famous pronouncements from John Kerry, October 2002. Hold on to it a minute until I just finish this guy. Are you aware of the fact that the main proponent who said it was a slam dunk that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq was the head of the CIA?
Yes.
Do you know his name?
Tenet.
Do you know who appointed him and where, when and where he did these analyses?
No, I don't.
You're not aware of the fact he was this head of the CIA for Bill Clinton for many years?
Yes, but we had... Wait a minute.
Let's go through a little checklist to see if you know what you're talking about. He was the head of the CIA. He was the one who told Clinton and Gore about the danger of Saddam Hussein. He was the one who gave them the justification for a massive attack on Iraq. Do you remember when that was?
Don't remember the date, but I do remember the...
Do you remember what it involved?
Yeah, it's bombing.
You bet. Do you remember how much bombing was done and how many civilians died?
Nope.
Well, you better go look it up. And do you know, was George Bush around then or Wolfowitz guiding anything at that time?
Yes, but...
No, yes, but were they around then?
I'm a Republican, I've always been a Republican.
I don't care who you are, you said something is not true.
Okay, but
you said something that is clearly not true.
War.
Every one of those top Democrats believed before George W. Bush that Saddam Hussein was a danger, that he was either making or did have weapons of mass destruction. Now, I want you to hear the number one top guy who believed that. Here, listen to it again. Let's go.
Without question, we need to disarm Saddam Hussein.
He presents a particularly grievous threat.
I don't want this to be ambiguous. I do believe that Saddam Hussein is a threat.
His continued deceit and his consistent grasp for weapons of mass destruction.
So the threat of Saddam Hussein with weapons of mass destruction is real.
Saddam Hussein must disarm or face the most serious consequences.
I made a decision that Saddam Hussein is a threat.
So the threat of Saddam Hussein with weapons of mass destruction is real.
All right, now, caller, does that mean anything to you?
Yes, it means we should have left those inspectors in instead of starting the bombing.
Yeah, but let's go back to your claim about how George W. Bush and Wolfowitz so deceived all of your top Democratic friends. Now, wasn't that a crock? I'm going to tell you that is a crock. And you are a first class propagandist when you try that. They were all equally convinced and all equally deceived. And, you know, the truth is, when nobody knew for certain, you cannot blame them for being stupid. But the Democrats, before the election of 2002, were the most aggressive in their statements, including Jay Rockefeller in the floor of the Senate even saying that Saddam Hussein was responsible for 9/11. Did you remember that?
Well, obviously.
Would you like to hear those words?
No,
I don't think you would.
Inspectors are paid on the ground.
Yeah, well, you want to live your story? Fine. Now, how's that going to solve the problem now? Do you know our servicemen are confronting what Al-Qaeda says is the battlefront of the war on terror? What do you know they're there, don't you?
Yes.
Does all your sideline carping help them one bit while you sit on your cozy butt and speculate? I don't think so. That's what really makes me so angry about this crap. Okay, Tony in Santa Barbara, you're going to be next up here.
Hi, Dr. Bill.
Let's go.
I was just kind of taking a little bit of issue with your statement about building a fence along the border. I think it would be an actual benefit. And I can't see the downside. Nobody's going to stop at 100% because everybody always says, oh, well, it won't stop at 100%. But they built a section of fence that's about a couple hundred miles long that stopped at, you know, like 80%. And I just don't see it, like throwing up your hands and saying, well, don't build the fences.
Tony, slow down. You never heard me say that it wouldn't do some good. You heard a call.
You just did.
No, come on, my friend. The caller asked me, can we stop terrorists from coming over? And I said, no. He did not ask, can you slow down illegal immigration?
Come on.
You got to clean a little wax out of your ears. I'll play you back the call if you want. You never heard me say that a fence is worthless.
Okay, then it is. Okay, I got the impression you said that.
Come on. I'm just telling you, be just a little bit accurate.
Oh, well, I was trying. I heard what I heard.
Well, you heard what you heard, but you're hearing something ringing in your ears. I'm sorry.
Oh, I see.
I told him no fence, nothing is going to stop dedicated, experienced terrorists from getting in this country. A few of them, at least, you see.
Right.
That's what I told him. And if you have an exception to that, I want to hear.
You were saying that it would. It was like, well, it won't do any good at all to build a fence.
I'm talking about terrorists, my friend. Do you hear me?
I agree with you.
Okay, please,
terrorists.
You're dead wrong. That's all. I did not degrade your concept of a fence. Okay, that's
so
all there is to it. Now, come on.
We're
wasting other people's time here. Okay, come on. KGO time now, 12:40. about 20 minutes to go here on the Open Line to the West Coast this morning. And, of course, I'll be back next Saturday, Sunday, as usual, 10 to 1 here on the most listened to program and radio station. But no better time than right now for you here. Let's go here. Joe in Sacramento, you're on KGO.
Yeah, gee, God bless the servicemen, and I hope they're having a good, going to have a good Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Bill. Well, we all do, and I'll tell you, tens of thousands of them listen to this program. They record it, rebroadcast it, and they appreciate very much hearing from you at home.
Well, I hope they record it too, the show, so they can re-listen to it, and for those that you know are on duty or whatever, you know.
Well, it's easy. You mention it. Might as well let me tell the audience as well. You can hear my programs anytime by going to a famous website, www.pushback.com. The webmaster there has followed this program for years, many other interesting topics. But on that homepage, you'll find a tab that says Bill Wattenberg. And if you click on that, it'll take you to a section where he records all my programs in MP3 format. You just click on it, and you can play back my programs on your computer. Or you can sign up for a webcast. Been there for a long time. And
wow, that's a great tech for me.
Thousands,
you know, I don't have a computer, but... Well, maybe someday I will, but...
Well, a friend can get you this program replayed anytime you want. Simply go to... Actually, that section has its own link, URL. It's drbill.org, drbill.org will take you right there.
Yeah, Bill, that's interesting. Bill, what about if you have a pitch roof and you close all the vents up there, the events, et cetera, for the winter... And you open up that trap door that goes up to the attic for the heat, and you get that area kind of warm in your house. Would that help on the long run to keep your home a little bit warmer all over?
No, because you're simply trying to warm a bigger volume. That's all. You've essentially just enlarged your home.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, the loss of heat depends on the temperature difference. What's the temperature on the inside versus outside, times the surface area. So all you've done is just increase the surface area.
Bill, what it
anytime, now just listen a minute. Let me finish. Anytime you can close off the living space that you want to keep warm and keep it away from a bigger volume, you're better off. You lose less heat, that's all.
Got it.
By all means, simply insulate above the ceiling of the living space you're in.
What about closing off the vents, at least, in the attic? Does that help much?
Well, you can get some serious problems. If you close off the vents, then in the daytime, that can warm up inside with warm air, can't it?
Right.
Okay, now hold a second. Take a deep breath. I haven't finished yet. Guess what? There's more. There's a problem. When you do that at night when it cools down, the water vapor will condense out of that warm air and drip right down the walls in your house. Okay.
Ugly.
Okay, that's why you have vents. You have vents up there to try to keep that air close to the outside air so you don't have the condensation and you don't have as much heat loss. But you need a good ceiling insulation over your living space. You understand?
Right.
Okay, that's what you need to do. Okay, Joe?
Somebody told me the Indians used to use dirt up there for insulation many, many years ago, and it worked.
They didn't build sheetrock houses either, you see. I mean, dirt on a roof, anything that stops heat loss is an advantage, that's all.
I got you.
And dirt and straw was a combination that made sort of a plaster-like mud, okay?
Right.
Okay, take care, Joe. Thanks for calling. Eric in Dunnigan. I know where you are in Dunnigan, up at Bill, what is it? Bill and Kathy's restaurant right there.
Very near there. Dr. Bill, I really enjoy a lot of your programs. You're a great source of education,
But there's something you don't like. Let's hear it.
I think sometimes you're disparaging to people. You say, why do they hate America and things like that? And I think sometimes... you have a different vantage point. You have a lot more information than a lot of people. But I think sometimes, especially with men, you're very critical. You have a very sharp mind, but you have a pretty sharp tongue, too.
You bet I do. And you know what I have no patience with? I have no patience with liars, idiots, propagandists, and easy way outers, okay? Particularly when we have 160,000 servicemen over there struggling to do something for this nation and the world, and they know what it is.
Dr. Bill, I think that you were a propagandist before the war. A couple of weeks before the thing started, you asked your listeners, what should we do? And I urge us just to stall and wait for the inspectors. And you said, why do you hate America? And that's not my basis at all.
Well, do you think that John Kerry didn't join me? Did you just hear him?
The fact that he is...
Did you just hear John Kerry? Do you want me to put the words in your face again? Did you just hear what he had to say?
The fact that he...
Did you hear what John Kerry, the head of the Democrats, had to say?
The fact that he was wrong...
Did you hear... Oh, the fact that he was wrong means that's okay, but everybody else was wrong and believed the same thing, huh?
Not everyone did believe that.
Well, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe there is a great weapon of mass destruction over there, and we're seeing it. Organized terrorism, mayhem, murder, and slaughter. And if you don't think there are people who wish America to lose, you're a very naive guy, because you can hear them night after night. You can read about them. You can see what they have to say in your newspapers. You can watch them on CNN. And I suggest you try a little of that. That's all. I mean, I accept your opinion, but I'll tell you, I have to disagree with you. Well, Dean in Saratoga, you're on KGO.
Good evening, Dr. Bill. How are you?
What's on your mind, Dean?
Probably a question you've had before, but I was at a little seminar/workshop, and they were talking about cell phones and how they can be so dangerous. They were in particular... reviewing a book titled Cell Phones,
mm-hmm.
and talking about the electromagnetic field that they create and that it affects your brain, and over time this can be have some deleterious effects. You know, and I'm thinking like about my grandkids who probably will be using cell phones for many more years than I did.
Okay, you want an answer?
Yeah.
Well, look, these claims were made some years ago. Cell phones were causing brain tumors. Some guys... I remember the first one was a police officer in Florida, I think. He suddenly developed a brain tumor, and his wife said, well, gee, he's always got a cell phone there, so it must have been the cell phone's fault. But he was also eating carrots twice a week, too, see?
Yeah.
And as Dr. Dean Adele would say, there's a strong correlation with carrots, too, isn't there?
Yeah, and he probably had a maple tree out in front of his house.
Yeah, and that's right, and strong correlation with maple trees.
Right.
The truth is, all the tests that have been done around the world... after these fear stories came out and hysteria came out, do not supply any credible evidence that the cell phones are any threat. Yet you still hear so-called scientists say, well, we think we see indications, you see. Mm-hmm. What they're saying is we're trying to make a case to do some more studying. Give us another $1 million so we can study this non-problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're hearing in the and the really serious... threats to our health, to your children, are being ignored when people suck up and waste money that way. And this whole electromagnetic EMF field hysteria was totally discredited, and the top scientists in Europe and the United States several years ago pointed it out and said it was a monumental $40 billion a year fraud. Because the so-called scientists who first said that they saw some changes in cells because of small electromagnetic fields turned out to be frauds. And I'm sorry to say one of them was right over here at my alma mater, the University of California, Lawrence Berkeley Laboratory. They fired him, okay? And then there were two women back east who made claims that they saw changes in the metabolism of cells, RNA production, and so forth. And then years later, after everybody believed this crap, good scientists tried to reproduce this, and they never could.
See? I see.
And these women said, well, gee, we don't know what happened, but they would never supply their own laboratory data or their own setup to see if it could be verified. Same thing with power lines were supposedly causing leukemia.
Right, yeah? I remember that.
Well, I'm telling you, it is so low in probability that it's pitiful compared to just your children learning to drive, okay?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
Or not getting a good education, or not being vaccinated.
Right.
Or a zillion other things 100 times more important.
Right.
That's all I can say to you.
Okay, well, thank you. I've got one other quick question. I know in the past you have said that all cars can run very well on regular gasoline.
All cars sold in the United States except exotic race cars, okay?
Okay. Oh, my daughter's got a BMW. So
your daughter's got a car that just loves normal regular gasoline, and it doesn't know the difference. And I want to tell you something. I have one of the finest German driving machines ever made in a garage somewhere. I forgot where I last parked it. It's never seen anything other than regular gas. It does not know the difference unless you get it up at the top end at about 165, 70 miles an hour on the Autobahn. And then instead of 160 on regular, 87 unleaded, it'll do about 166 on premium.
I see.
Now, is that meaning a lot to your daughter?
I hope not.
Her Beamer for normal driving does not know the difference.
Is there a website or some reference?
Yeah, it's all over the countryside. You can go read the U.S. Commerce Department. It'll tell you that.
Okay.
I mean, I tried to tell people for 25 years, and they finally went out and did the experiments, found out I was right. But look at all the money that's been wasted.
Oh, my God, I know.
Hey, look,
money on your recommendation for years, you know, and I wanted to get her to...
Well, just tell her to take her heel and kick a little hole in the sand somewhere by the gas station and drop the other 30 cents a gallon in that hole, cover it up, and some little kids will find it, and it'll do some good.
There you go.
Because the engine in her Beamer does not know the difference. If it doesn't ping, you know what pinging sounds like?
Yes, yes.
It doesn't know the difference.
Yes.
And when you get above about 3,000 feet altitude, it's no way it could know the difference because the premium idea is wasted. That's why when you go to high altitude, they sell you 85 octane gasoline.
Oh, my God.
You go to Denver, they sell you 82.
Oh, my God.
Well, people don't use their head. It is, but, you know, the Germans will tell her, if you don't use premium gasoline in this fine German machine, we send the Wehrmacht to shoot you at dawn, you know? Well, they tell people to use the premium for two reasons. One, if you use premium gas, you can get a slight little bit improvement in less pollution because the timing can be advanced and that kind of stuff. So they have the cars tested with premium gas when the government tests them, you see? So they have to tell you to use premium forever thereafter.
I see.
Even though they have their tongue in their cheek and they know better.
I see.
And nowhere in your book will you find that it says your warranty is bothered in any way if you burn regular. See?
I see. Well, good. You've given me some good arguments.
Now, all you have to do is don't tell her. Go do it. You're going to give her a big present. You're going to fill up her tank with gas sometime, all right?
Yeah.
Go fill it with regular. She'll never know the difference.
Right?
Tell her later, okay?
Okay.
All right?
Thank you very much.
Take care. Standard Spiel. It's Christmas time. All right. Jane in, where are you in the great state of Washington? Faircrest. I haven't heard of that one, Jane.
Faircrest is a small community near Tacoma.
Oh, is it? Beautiful area there.
Mm-hmm. It is, indeed. Beautiful, wet, and windy tonight.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, a question I've had for you for a long time and finally just took a chance to try to call you tonight is about when pouring a soda into a glass with ice, pouring it over ice, it always foams up and takes a long time to be able to fill a glass.
Yes.
Whereas if you pour the soda in first and then drop the ice cubes in, it doesn't foam up as much. And I've always wondered, why is that?
Boy, I wish I knew the full answer because... actually, the foam is created by the gas being released out of the soda. You know, hey, Jay, here's one that Jay says he knows something about. What is it, Jay?
Howdy, Janie. Howdy, Bill. Hey,
were you a bartender at once, Jay?
I haven't. No, only in the frat house, I think.
Right.
And that was hardly bartending.
Right.
Listen, I can help you folks. If you guys are interested in learning getting $10, I can tell you how to do this at the next holiday party. That'll be good. You're going to be at the holiday party, and they'll be doing exactly what you described, Janie. They'll
okay.
be filling up the glasses with ice with soda, and it'll be foaming up, and they'll be, you know, trying to fill it up a little bit. You can say, hey, listen, I'll bet you $10 I can fill up that same glass with soda without it fizzing over. And here's how you do it, okay? You take that same glass with the ice in it. First thing you do is pour a little bit of water in it so it covers the ice cubes. Let it sit there for about 15 or 20 seconds and pour the water out. Pour the soda in then, and I guarantee you it won't fizz up at all. Here's why. When you put the water in first, it melts the surface of the ice cubes, so the little crevices, the nooks and crannies in the outside of the ice cubes get flattened. They get melted so that the ice cubes are very flat. And those little nooks and crannies are where the bubbles come from when you pour the soda in. So when you make it a flat surface, the little bubbles have no place to form on the surface of the ice cubes, and so it doesn't fizz up. You can fill the soda up to the top of the glass and collect your $10 and have a drink on me, and that's what causes that fizzing to happen.
Now, Jay, you really did teach me something.
Oh,
that's
wow.
one. That
Thank
is one. That's one I never thought of. There, I have to tell you, Jane, there is a good physical basis to that. What he's talking about is called nucleation. Bubbles don't form unless there is some little imperfection, as he's talking about, or a particle to start the bubble formation. And that's very clever, Jay.
Well, thanks, Bill.
You've obviously done this now, huh?
Yeah, I did the experiment myself.
Boy, if you haven't done that experiment, I'd be real angry with you, but okay. Because, boy, if I lose that $10, you're in trouble, Jay.
Yeah, oh, hey, I'll pay it, because that's how confident I am. It's a great trick.
Jane, you like these you like these sorts of things, Jane?
I do, indeed.
Okay, let me tell you a simple simple experiment I give kids, and you have kids watch this. Take your same glass full of soda, tonic water is the best,
okay.
and drop a half a dozen raisins in it. You know the moist raisins you get in a box?
Sure.
Drop it in, and watch them. And then explain what you see over the next 10 minutes, all right? I have a friend who wants to know, and I want to tell you something. I'll give you a great story next time you call me. I'll tell you the rest of it next week.
Okay.
I have a friend who won a Nobel Prize, very famous guy, won a Nobel Prize because he observed something like that everybody else just glossed over and didn't stop to say, why is this happening?
Wow.
Now, you do this little experiment, and it's great for kids. And watch very closely and see if you can explain. Call me back, would you?
I'll do that.
Hey, good.
And thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for calling all the way from the great state of Washington. Raymond in San Francisco, let's see if we can get you in here in a hurry.
Yeah, earlier you stated that we're over there helping those Iraqi people. I just don't see it.
Well, if you don't, then I can't tell you how. But why don't you ask our soldiers that are out there with the 1,000 different convoys and sorties every day taking goods and services and getting shot at, protecting the schools, protecting the hospitals. You know, I don't have time for you. Come on. I don't know how to explain the obvious to you. Or let's say I don't know how to deal with your innuendo. Okay, Walt in Menlo Park, you're on KGO. We have 30 seconds, Walt.
Bill?
Yes, quickly, Walt.
Bill, I was wondering, does radiation from a nuclear source fall off with the square of the distance?
Yeah, well, once it's dropped somewhere, it's like any other radiation. It decreases with the square of the distance, just like a light ray.
Okay, well, about 40 years ago, across the bay, you might know where this was. We had getters.
I don't know, but we've run out of time here, Walt. I wish I had a little more, but we've hit the end of the hour. Stay tuned now for Ray Taliaferro coming up on KGO. And for KGO, this is Bill Wattenberg bidding you good morning. I'll be back next Saturday, Sunday, 10 p.m. on the open line to the West Coast as usual. And this is KGO, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland at 810 on the AM dial everywhere.
From ABC News, I'm Brad Wheatless. President Bush will sit down today with members of a bipartisan commission looking into options for dealing with Iraq. ABC's Sonia Crawford is in Washington.
At the White House today, the panel is expected to present its preliminary findings to the president, the product of 8 months of research and interviews.
The group will discuss its preliminary findings with a final report due later. Whatever the panel suggests, it's likely a long-term fix, as ABC News consultant and retired General Jack Kane.
There's no silver bullet here, so I think their plan will reflect a political strategy, a military strategy, and an economic one, and a very strong diplomatic one.
The U.S. may try to get Iraq's neighbors to help with the problem. Saudi Arabia's interior minister says the deteriorating situation in Iraq is a threat to the entire region. President Bush will meet with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert today. Iran will be a major topic of conversation.
The Israeli government has been sending messages and warnings that if the Americans do not respond, we will likely respond and attack Iranian targets.
ABC News Middle East consultant Fawaz Jirja says the nuclear threat is a big concern. The Iranians also support Hezbollah in Lebanon. Time is everything when a person suffers a heart attack, and getting the victim to the hospital is only half the battle. Hundreds of hospitals are implementing new procedures, such as requiring heart catheterization specialists to arrive at the hospital within 20 minutes of being paged.
Some hospitals that have really adopted these kinds of strategies and are going really fast, you come into a hospital soon after your chest pain starts, we can virtually abort the heart attack.
That's Dr. Harlan Krumholtz at the Yale University School of Medicine. A chain reaction accident involving more than 20 vehicles on Interstate 84 in Hartford, Connecticut. The highway was shut down for 2 hours last night, but no serious injuries. A groundbreaking ceremony will be held in Washington, D.C. today for the Martin Luther King Jr. National Memorial. President Bush will speak there. You're listening to ABC News.
Are you struggling with too much credit card debt? Sky-high interest rates? Late fees? Over-limit fees? Having trouble just making the monthly minimums? We can help. We're Credit Card Relief. We've helped thousands of people become debt-free in months instead of years, all while saving thousands of dollars. Now, this isn't bankruptcy or one of those consumer credit counseling deals, and it's not a high-interest consolidation loan. It's Credit Card Relief. We have an outstanding record of performance and client satisfaction. We provide a complete credit analysis and free consultation with a local participating program attorney. If you're serious about getting out of debt, call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. Don't wait for the collection calls to start. Call Credit Card Relief, 866-580-9999. The consultation is free and the relief is real. 866-580-9999. Not available in all states.
Now that the midterm election is over, candidates eyeing the White House and those not are making their intentions known. Democratic Senator Russ Feingold says he won't run. Republican Senator John McCain says he'll set up an exploratory committee. Many political types think it'll be a McCain versus Hillary Clinton race in 08. ABC's John Yang.
In a Newsweek poll out this weekend, each was among the most popular and unpopular potential candidates. 54% said there's a chance they'd vote for McCain, but 32% said there's no chance. 53% said there's a chance they'd vote for Clinton,